All right, board members, I will call to order our Wednesday, December 10th public hearing. We want to welcome members of the public who may be watching us this evening via webcast or television, and to those who may be here in the audience. Board members, we do have several items on the agenda. Hopefully, though, with most of these, we can get through them fairly quickly, as we have really not many members of the public signed up this evening. The procedure will be as follows, ladies and gentlemen. And first, if you're here to speak on any item that is on the agenda and have not signed up yet, please see the clerk to my left. Each member of the public signed up to speak will be given 2 minutes to speak on the item on the agenda that they wish to speak to. We'd ask, when your name is called, that you please come forward to the podium, state your name for the public record, and when we call up the item, staff will give either a brief update or a presentation, and following the presentation, the applicant, where applicable, will have the opportunity to give their presentation for 10 minutes. And just to forewarn board members, our last two applications, item 10 and item 11, are dealing with Bramilton. We will just kind of do them together in terms of the briefing and as well as the presentation from developer. All right, our first, and then following the presentation by either staff or the developer, then we will open it up for public comments. Our first item this evening is proposed amendments to the codified ordinances of Loudoun County, chapters 840, business, professional, and occupational license tax, 860, personal property and real estate tax, 868, exemption for certified solar energy equipment, 872, real estate tax relief for elderly or totally and permanently disabled, and 876, bank franchise tax. And Mr. Wirtz, do you have anything to add to your report this evening?
Mr. Chairman, this item, these board amendments or these ordinance amendments were heard during a public hearing on December 10th. I do not believe that anyone spoke from the public relative to them. They're general administrative changes.
Okay.
And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might
Excellent.
Have.
Excellent. Are there any questions at this time, Mr. Wirtz? Yes, Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question on the real estate tax relief for elderly or totally and permanently disabled. I know we've had discussions on this previously. My question would be, we're still looking at the $440,000 level, and doing this now goes into effect as of January 1st. Is that correct?
Correct.
What would be the implications if during our budget discussions we wanted to look at a proposal for making a change to that $440,000 number? Could it be done to be made effective January 1st of next year, or would it have to go a year out for the whole budget process?
The ordinance, any ordinance amendment that you might make in calendar 15 would likely affect January 1, 2016.
Okay, thank you.
Tax year.
Thank you.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you. The bank franchise tax changes may result in a slight increase in local tax revenue if they don't file. Do you really get much in this regard traditionally?
Actually, we have, and we didn't have any provision in the ordinance that permitted a late penalty.
Hmm. Interesting. We have so many banks in this county, but the question I have is, will this cover the towns, or do they have their own franchise tax?
Cities, counties, and towns are all authorized to implement the bank franchise tax. This would not cover the banks in our incorporated towns. They have their own tax.
So they have their own.
Correct.
Do you know if they're doing the same thing, or have they always had this provision?
I do not know.
Okay. If you can get that for me offline, I'd appreciate it.
Thank
you. Especially Leesburg. You know where I'm coming from on this.
Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wirtz, I was curious about the exemption for certified solar energy equipment and the modification. what exactly is, do we have an exemption in the county for this?
We do. This basically revises the agencies that are referenced in the ordinance to correct those. The departments that were previously listed in the ordinance were not the proper ones that administered the exemption.
Okay.
So I mean, we're basically correcting those.
And this is correcting that the way I read it, but I was trying to be clear. I had some conversation with Mr. Sandy about our legislative package because I had some questions from some residents about this. And anyway, it wasn't made clear to me that we, in fact, until I read this item, that we, in fact, did have some tax exemption in the county. He said there was something at the state level and didn't seem to be, or maybe I didn't understand what he said, didn't seem to be aware that we did, in fact, have this tax exemption.
We do already have this exemption, and we have a few individuals in the county that have solar panels on their roofs of their homes that take advantage of it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Bona.
It's just very quick, Mr. Wirtz. The real estate tax relief for the elderly or totally and permanently disabled. This item is just a technical correction, correct, to align us with the General Assembly amended Virginia Code, specifically dealing with the areas of property held in a trust or in a life estate, correct?
That's correct.
This has nothing to do with income levels or net worth levels like $440,000 that the board dealt with under a completely different ordinance process and public hearing, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we have no members of the public signed up to speak. So, board members, I'm going to move that the board suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made, seconded by Supervisor Williams. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1 with Mr. Delgado absent for the vote. I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the proposed amendments to the following provisions of the codified ordinances of Loudoun County to be effective January 1, 2015. Chapter 840, Business Professional and Occupational License Tax. Chapter 860, Personal Property and Real Estate Tax. Chapter 868, Exemption for Certified Solar Energy Equipment. Chapter 872, Real Estate Tax Relief for Elderly or Totally and Permanently Disabled. And Chapter 876, Bank Franchise Tax. A motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Williams. Discussion? I'm sorry, that was Mr. Bona, not Mr. Williams, that seconded. Discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry the same 8-0-1 with Mr. Delgado absent for the vote. Our next item is item number two, proposed conveyance of county property, grant of permanent utility easement, Broadland Section 23, Block 1. Future Ashburn Recreation and Community Center site. And Ms. Sigler, do you have anything to add to your staff report?
No, we don't have anything to add to the staff report.
All right. Do you have any questions for staff board members? All right. Seeing none, and we have no members of the public signed up to speak on this. Mr. Williams, you look like you're going for a motion.
Well, I'll go. I will go for a motion. Just a quick clarification. The two motions in the packet, and I'm happy to suspend the rules tonight and get this. Just for my colleagues' edification, this is just a transfer or easement from county land, and it's really more technical. It requires full board approval and a public hearing. So there's no issues with this item, and I would like to suspend. In the packet, there's motion one, motion 2B. But I'm going to suspend the rules, and staff would prefer 2B, I assume.
Yes. For a suspension, yes, that is correct.
I move the board supervisor to suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made, seconded by Mr. Reed. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Mr. Williams.
I move that the board of supervisors approve the requested grant of permanent utility easement to Verizon, LLC, as shown in the plat number PAOH118916R, included as attachment 1 to the December 10th, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing staff report. I further move that the chairman, the vice chairman, and the county administrator or his duly authorized designee be authorized to execute a deed of easement or other form of easement acceptable in the form to the county attorney.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by the West Wing of the board. I'll just give that to Ms. Volpe. Discussion?
I have none, Chairman.
All right. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Thank you. Our next item is County of Loudoun, Virginia, proposed 2014 capital intensity factor. All right, which of the three wants to take this item? All right. Daniel?
Staff has prepared a presentation if the board so chooses. If not, we're here to answer any questions, and we don't have anything to add to the staff report.
Yeah, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, except I do have one question, and I apologize. I did mean to call staff on this. And just out of curiosity, can you tell me why the single-family dwelling units in the Dulles Planning sub-area are a lot cheaper than in the Ashburn, Potomac, Sterling Planning sub-areas? I don't understand when our schools are costing the same.
Primarily because land values in the Ashburn, Sterling, and Potomac area is a little higher than we're seeing in the Dulles area. So when you factor in the land acquisition costs for a school or a facility, it's a little higher in the eastern portion, which is what we call Ashburn, Potomac, and Sterling, versus Dulles. So that's the main differentiation.
Well, I'll have to say that I think you way under planning. And in fact, that is the area to me that is growing most from the toll road south. And I think it's going to cause us a lot of problems in the long run. Mr. Latourne.
Mr. Chairman, can I just respond also that what Dan also should have mentioned is that the Ashburn sub area includes a portion of what you think of as Dulles. So just the
how far down?
It goes all the way. The map is in your packet on page on the very last page.
Basically, is the dividing line Evergreen Mill Road
on the east
or Bramilton?
No, I'm talking about the southern portion. It's the Ashburn area goes way south of 287, way south of the Greenway.
I understand that. So roughly, I'm asking, geographically, how far down? Roughly Evergreen Mill Road, or are you going further?
Further down than that.
In between Evergreen Mill Road and Route 50?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
About halfway down.
That doesn't do me any.
Well, it doesn't have the road names on it.
Well, no, it's about Evergreen Mill Road, looking at this map. Okay. I still disagree. Mr. Letourneau?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the issue that I had raised in the Finance Committee, along with the fact that if a project is in the CIP, then it doesn't get counted in this calculation. And I think that's a problem because in the sixth year of the CIP, we have a new Dulles South High School now planned, $110 million school, which anybody coming forward on a rezoning, which goes above what we would plan to have, will not have to have factored into what their capital intensity factor is, even though that's 6 years out. And that is almost just luck. I mean, it just so happened that the school board slipped it in their final year of their CIP as we're currently dealing with it. And that could easily change. We frequently, particularly in these out years, see moves between year four and year five and year six. So I continue to not see the logic in excluding those projects that far out from the capital intensity factor, particularly because we don't have a site for that school. We're having a hard time finding a site for that school. It's going to cost, as the chairman just alluded to, quite a bit to actually acquire a site, let alone what the construction costs are going to be at that time. So that is my objection. It is not an objection so much with the calculations that were made by the Fiscal Impact Committee or by staff or anybody else. It's really by the parameters by which this was being discussed. And I would like to see that changed. So that's where I am on this.
Questions for staff. We don't have a motion on, but Mr. Bona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Fiscal Impact Committee had great debates about the land values and how they were driving things in the various part of the counties. I want to point out to everybody that we made, and staff can confirm this, we made about five major changes to the methodology, but one of those was that we went to market rate on land, not assessed value, correct?
Sir.
Okay. which drove the values higher than what they would have been if we had used assessed value. And that was new since 2009, right?
Sir.
Okay. We also developed five geographic regions in our methodology this time, and we used three in the past, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you have no way to do an apples-to-apples comparison of the capital intensity factor that was approved in 2009 to the one that's being recommended here today, because the land areas being covered are not the same, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you. I got an email earlier, and I was not aware of this at the time of the Finance Committee discussion, but one of my appointees to the Fiscal MCAC Committee actually voted against the Dulles CIF. Were there any other members of the committee that voted against this, or?
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
It didn't sound like it was unanimity on the Dulles thing, and if that's the case, then it would sound like Mr. Letourneau and maybe the chairman have an opportunity to amend this and bring it to the board in January.
Mr. Reed, just a couple of things. We do everything up here and through our commissions by majority. But in terms of the response, can somebody address it? And whether it's you, Mr. Bunner, or not,
it's simple.
What was the vote?
The vote was 8-1.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Letourneau.
For clarification, on the issue that Supervisor Reed raised, the vote was 5-4, correct? On the specific to the Dulles CIF, the vote was 5-4.
That had to do more with land values, not excluding
yeah.
the school.
Yeah, that was so not.
That's what's playing into right. what we're talking about
the
here.
The vote
okay.
to approve these right. numbers in your packet was 8-1. There was a prior vote that was a subset vote. We took lots of those, dozens of them. One was on land values in the Dulles area. That vote was 5-4. It's the only 5-4 vote I think we had in the 2 years of doing this.
Again, I'll remind folks, we vote, we go forward by majority, regardless of how the vote turns out. Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually had been in good contact with the gentleman I had appointed to the Fiscal Impact Committee, and something that hasn't been said yet, and I appreciate Supervisor Bono talking about the 2 years of meetings. I want to thank the folks that volunteered to be on that committee. I want to thank the staff who helped that committee. It was very laborious work. At this point in time, I'm supportive of the work that the committee did with staff. I do not want us to try and second-guess 2 years.
Folks, I
want to
remind you that
you know,
all I've asked
stuff.
At this time is questions of staff, and we will get into discussion if we get into a motion, which I'm sure we will. Any other questions of staff? I just have one follow-up. Previous to this, in all the years we've been doing this as a result, so we ensure that we are as fair as we can be with respect to our proffers and et cetera. Have we had that same discrepancy in the numbers from planning district to planning district? This one just seems to be out of normal to me.
Well, way back when we actually used a flat 60,000 an acre, so we really have come a long way in terms of trying to provide much more real life numbers. And so we've actually, as Dan indicated, by the virtue of changing the sub areas and trying to really hone in on those areas in a more fine-grained
you
manner.
I'm going to ask you another question,
okay.
just you. You and I have worked these past 20 years to increase the amount of proffers we have anticipated from boards of supervisors during rezonings, and we went from basically 25% to 100%. So are you comfortable with these numbers?
Yes, I am, and the only caveat that I have is the one that's been raised, and that is your vigilance in making sure that you keep the numbers current, that you can't let it go from 2009 like we did now, which is basically too long.
Okay.
So, And as you know, when you do any future area plans or updates to the comprehensive plan.
Pastor, you keep putting more into an answer than I asked.
Okay, yes.
all right. Further questions? Board members, we have nobody signed up to speak on this item, I concede. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Bona for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Motion has been made for suspension and seconded by Vice Chair Williams. Discussion on motion for suspension. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. And okay. Let me see the hands on the nose. Okay. That motion will carry 7-2 with Mr. Reed and Mr. Letourneau opposed. Mr. Bona, motion.
Yes, I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt the 2014 capital intensity factor as recommended by the Finance, Government Services, and Operations Committee.
Second. Motion is made for approval and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Opening, Mr. Bona.
Just very briefly, I do agree with Supervisor Volpe. I do want to thank the Fiscal Impact Committee. It's a lot of meetings. The whole committee is citizen volunteers other than myself. People put a lot of thought into it, a lot of time into it. They did their homework. I was very impressed. We kind of gained momentum as we went. It was new to everybody as we started. But as we went, people got very educated. It was a very good process. Now, what Ms. Pastor said is absolutely right. We can't go from 2009 to 2014 again. And one of my concerns, and we talked about this in the committee over and over again, is this only applies to residential rezonings. And if we get plan busters that come in, to coin somebody's word, I think a lot of people use plan busters, but if we have plan busters come in, we're going to have to look at those individually, number one. But if you remember in our board meeting, I think it was last week, we amended the county's fiscal policies. And one of the things that I asked staff to add into that was that we would revisit this every 2 years, but not to exceed 4 years, but we would attempt to do this every 2 years. I think it's incumbent on the chairman of the Finance Committee, whoever that is in the future, to make sure that the Fiscal Impact Committee proceeds and that we stay on course to update this basically twice in a board's term. And I know that's a lot of work for the committee, but it's important we do that. Otherwise, the numbers are not going to necessarily align. The capital intensity factors aren't necessarily going to align with the conditions on the ground in the county. And so we do need to be on top of it, like Ms. Pastor said. Thank you.
Further discussion, Mr. Letourneau.
So the issue that I raised a minute ago about the CIP is a board policy issue, right? It's not in, again, it wasn't what the Fiscal Impact Committee even was dealing with. To change that board policy, is a separate item need to come forward? How? What's the most effective way to do that?
This whole thing is a policy.
Okay.
So
then I would ask a friendly amendment then that the next time in 2 years that the board, that the Fiscal Impact Committee considered capital intensity factor, that they specifically examine whether all projects in a six-year CIP should be excluded from the calculation.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment. I think we kind of do that in a way. I mean, when it came to parks, we got practical and said, all right, well, the policy says you have so many parks in so many places, yet we got practical and said, there's no land to put a park in the middle of Ashburn that's 600 acres, so we pulled them all out. So we kind of do that, but I have no problem with that.
I would feel a lot better if that specific issue, when looking at a high school that's 6 years out, doesn't necessarily get excluded. I'm not going to vote against this because, again, the Fiscal Impact Committee did what it was supposed to do. The number, it's not like the numbers were, wrong per se. I just think the parameter was missing some components that it should miss, and I think it's incumbent on us to sort of change it if we want to change it. So I'm raising the issue, and I hope that in 2 years' time, when a board does this, whoever's on it, that issue comes to the forefront as well.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Thank you, guys. Our next item is ZOAM 2014-0005, proposed zoning ordinance amendments to add Dog Park as a permanent use in the planned development housing zoning districts PDH3, PDH4, and PDH6.
Chairman, if I may.
Mr. Bona?
Yes. I had an additional piece to my motion on the FIC that was handed to me. Is it too late to amend that motion or to add on to it?
I am the previous on the previous item.
On the previous item.
I think we better go ahead and then do a motion for reconsideration and reopen the question.
All right, I'll move for reconsideration.
Motion has been made for reconsideration, seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. The question is open. Mr. Boney.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to further move that the effective date of the capital intensity factors be December 10th, 2014, and any new rezoning or concept plan amendments which have not been heard by the Planning Commission will be subject to that.
All right. So it's been agreed to by the seconder.
Do I need to make the friendly amendment again?
No, because that's already on the table.
Okay. We're not.
No, the question, previous question was already open. He's added to the question.
Okay.
So, or the motion. All right. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That motion will be unanimous again. All right. The staff have any information to add to their report? Any updates?
No, nothing to add to the staff report.
Okay. I do have just a question that may lead into a couple other questions. In your report, I do not have iPad pages. Sorry, folks. Pages 6 and 7. And I'm somewhat a little bit puzzled in how you kind of address this. On one hand, you say recommends board approval on the front of this, but then I go back in here and then staff is saying there's a summary of outstanding issues. And so my question is, where is staff on the issues with respect to pages 6 and 7?
Staff recommends approval of the ZOAM. The issues that were discussed were brought up, for example, 5 and 6 were brought up by ERT regarding performance standards, adding performing standards. However, at this time, the proposal is to allow the use in the PDH common open space only, and the ZOAM proposes that the HOA will regulate the dog parks on their own and that we're not adding any performance standards at this time. However, the Planning Commission also recommended that the board initiate another amendment to allow the dog park use in other residential districts. And if that was the case, then we would be looking into the use in other districts, in other residential districts.
Okay. Adding performance standards. Let me just clarify. Staff is happy with where it's at right now.
Yes.
The issues on 6 or 7 have just been identified. If the board's interested, we ought to take them up now. If not, at another time.
Yes, okay. Yes, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You. Other questions, Mr. Letourneau?
So could you, under these regulations, could you build a dog park in a wetlands area?
Yes, the dog park is permitted in the floodplain.
Isn't that a problem? I mean, clearly the environmental... Look, I want to, first of all, I want to say I want this as much as anybody. I mean, I've been pushing this. But, like Chairman York, I've been a little bit confused with a staff recommendation, and then we have a whole bunch of issues from the environmental review team in building development that are saying you should fix these. So is it that some element of staff has overridden those concerns? Or are they not real concerns? Because it seems to me that pet waste in a floodplain, particularly when we're going to have to comply with all manner of federal regulation here in the next 5 or 10 years, is a problem we should probably address up front and simply not allow a dog park in that particular situation, which I don't think is going to be restrictive for any of the HOAs because they're not going to put them there anyway. But, you know.
And that was part of the answer to that is the fact that this ZOAM is limited to the HOA common open space areas. And by the ordinance, the FOD, the floodplain overlay district, does allow passive and active recreational uses as a permitted use, and I think this would fall under that. I think with the concerns raised by building and development in ERT are valid. I think, though, that based on the direction of the board to limit this to HOAs and the common areas of HOAs, that we felt comfortable that it wouldn't have the impact if you'd opened it up across the board in other zoning districts. Where at that time, I do think we would want to look at developing some performance standards if we're going to broaden it up to other areas.
Well, if we were just simply to prohibit in a wetlands or a floodplain, how can we fix that quickly? Because the difference between other types of active and passive recreation is the pet waste issue.
Right.
There's not waste when somebody's jogging, presumably.
That we know of.
That we know of.
Right. I mean, right now that it would be more complicated due to the way the ordinance was set up. The way the ordinance is set up to address this, we changed the definition in the ordinance of common open space to allow dog parks in there. If you get into wanting to assign performance standards, we didn't have the same comfort level doing it the way the ordinance was set up. And again, it was set up that way to expedite the amendment through and to do it the simplest to allow it in the HOA common open areas. So if you're looking at performance standards, we looked at that and thought if we were going to go that route, we probably need to put it in the use list and then reference 5600 and put the standards there. And that, again, adds to another level of complexity. If you put it in the use list, the question of being able to limit it to HOAs if you're opening it up.
I think we make two things, just things too complicated around here.
That's true.
All we want to do is prevent the waste from being a problem. And I would hope and I assume this will be approved as is, that we certainly hopefully will call the HOAs or whoever comes in and applies, HOAs, and make sure that, and I'm certain they will, because they will have to, by their constituencies, make sure that whatever gets dropped gets picked up.
That was the thought.
Mr. Bona.
Thank you. First, let me say to staff, thank you. As you know, I placed this in the board's strategic plan 2 years ago, and the board agreed to that, and it's finally to a public hearing. But to come to Chairman York's question, this is what I want to just reconfirm. First of all, this application only allows dog parks and HOA-controlled PDH-zoned property, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's all it does?
Yes.
Good. And all of these other, quote, outstanding issues are, in my mind, food for thought that goes beyond HOA-controlled PDH.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So they're just things we could think about if we wanted to do more later on, but they really don't have too much to do with what we're trying to approve here tonight, correct?
Yes.
So I agree. We shouldn't overcomplicate this. We should get this approved, and if we want to do some other things, we can move on from there. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff this time? Supervisor Bobie.
Thank you. Quick question to get to the meat of the matter. For example, at Hankin, you know, the Potomac Lake Sportsplex, the soccer fields are in the floodplain. At least half of them are. Do our county-owned parks, for example, allow you to bring a dog there on a leash?
Dog parks are accessory.
I'm saying... You bring your spouse and your children in a picnic,
yes.
And you bring your dog, and you can have your dog on a leash at the park.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Just wanted to make sure that folks over in my area weren't in trouble already for bringing their dog to a park on a leash. So we already have folks who are bringing their dogs on a leash to various and sundry parks. Many of which are in floodplain, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Ms. Reed.
Thank you. I believe that the Leesburg Dog Park is at Isaac Walton Park, and is part of that floodplain? Does anybody know?
Almost all of it is floodplain.
It's almost all floodplain, yeah. And there's no grass left because the dogs have scratched it up pretty much. I was involved in the town council in getting that approved, and it's become a maintenance item for the town. Nice dog park. I would still caution the HOAs to be careful what you ask for here. Boy, I'm telling you, we're really being nice to dogs this week. Gosh, we're going to give people in Ashburn and Sterling a $15.4 million centralized animal shelter so they don't have to drive an extra 10 minutes up Charlestown Pike. We're going to have dog parks and Lansdowne and Brambleton and Ashburn Village. Wow.
Questions,
cool.
Steve, staff,
I'm done. Thank you.
Other questions of staff at this time? All right. We have no members of the public signed up to speak. Mr. Bona, even though it's countywide, Mr. Bona.
Thank you. I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Motion has been made, Mr. Williams, second the motion. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of suspension, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Mr. Bruno.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZOAM 2014-0005 Dog Park, provided as Attachment 2 to the staff report for the December 10th, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing.
Second. All right. Motion has been made seconded. By Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Thank you, folks. All right. Our next item before us is a sign development plan for Dulles Landing sign development plan of 2012-0002. Mr. Klein, do you have anything to add to your staff report?
I don't have anything to update you on, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. Any questions of staff at this time? Ms. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff, I have met with Beatty property folks here some time back when they were pulling this together, and they conveyed that they were in discussions with MWA in order to work out some concerns by them about the proximity of the sign, and it appears that that's all been resolved. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. So that's all I have in terms of a question.
Any other questions? Seeing none, does the applicant or representative have a presentation?
For the record, I'm Keith Martin. Represent Beatty. Property has been posted and all notices have gone out. We have the recommendation of staff. We have the recommendation of Planning Commission. We're really excited about getting this opened up in 2015. And I would just like to dedicate this hearing and this application to my best friend and client, Scott Kreger, who was at my side throughout the zoning of Dulles Landing, who passed away 5 weeks ago suddenly of brain cancer.
Sorry to hear
and,
that.
And Scott and I, this was a, you know, our pet project, and we look forward to having this open. He got all the anchors under lease, and they're ready to go. So Scott's looking down on this and is very happy.
Very good. Thank you. All right. There are no members of the public signed up to speak on this at this time. So, Ms. Clark?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And we're very sorry for your loss, sir, and appreciate the work that you've done on this project along with Scott. With that, I move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Second.
Motion has been made for suspension, seconded by Supervisor Letourneau. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1 with Ms. Volpe absent for the vote. Ms. Clark.
Yes, I move that the Board of Supervisors forward SIDP 2014-0002 Dulles Landing Sign Development Plan I move that the Board of Supervisors approve STI P-2014-0002 Dulles Landing Sign Development Plan, subject to the conditions of approval dated November 18, 2014, and based on the findings for approval included in the December 10, 2014 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report.
Second.
All right. Motion was made for approval and seconded by Supervisor Letourneau. Any discussion? Ms. Clark has no opening. Mr. Letourneau?
I'm looking forward to the Dunkin' Donuts sign in particular.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 8-0-1. Ms. Volpe absent for the vote. Thank you. Our next item is ZRTD 2014-0002 and special exception 2014-0008, the Fairfax Christian School. And Mr. Harley, do you have anything to add to your report?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Not to the report, but I do want to mention two things. I do have the signed proffers, and I do have a supplemental in your packet. Mr. Williams, this is important for you. This has the approved conditions and proffers that have been reviewed by the county's attorney's office.
All right, very good. So all the I's dotted, all T's are crossed.
We're ready to go.
The board wishes to approve tonight. All right, very good. Any questions to staff at this time? All right, seeing none, does the applicant or representative have a presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Jeff Nine with Cooley, representing the applicant tonight. We have submitted the affidavits of signposting and written notice to the clerk. And looking at the Planning Commission recommendation of approval and a very favorable staff report, I'll forego any presentation. Be happy to answer any questions. We respectfully request your support tonight.
All right, very good. Let's see, we have no speakers sign up to speak on this. And Mr. Williams, this is in your district, so do you have a motion?
I do. And thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Joe. I'm glad we're getting this done, and we're going to try to get this taken care of tonight. Appreciate everything getting squared away. I've got the updated proffer statement and findings from staff, so I think I have my dates current. I would move that the Board of Supervisors suspend the rules.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona for suspension discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Mr. Williams.
Chairman, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZRTD 2014-2 and SPEX 2014-8, the Fairfax Christian School, subject to the conditions of approval dated November 5th, 2014, and the proffer statement dated December 2nd, 2014, and based on the findings for approval contained in the December 5th, 2014 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report.
September 5th. Yeah, September 10th.
Oh, it's been...
It was...
I'm sorry, I'm looking at staff.
Point of clarification.
Wait a minute, please.
Second.
I'm looking at the supplemental. The proffer statement dated December 2nd, 2014. The conditions of approval dated December 5th, 2014, and based on the findings for approval, including the attachment of this memorandum.
That's what I said, December 5th.
Yep. So is everyone
okay?
Yeah. Very good.
All right. I do have an opening, if it's okay, Chair. Very briefly, I'm excited tonight to welcome Fairfax Christian School to Loudoun County to the Broad Run District. I met Joe on this item, gosh, probably 18 months ago, it seems, and very excited to have you there. The private school use is proposed in this application meets some of the general Route 28 corridor design policies of the revised general plan, including the provision of quality buildings, materials, landscaping, screening, environmental protection areas, and pedestrian facilities. The proposed private school layout is generally consistent with the development pattern along the Pacific Boulevard corridor from Old Ox Road north to Sterling Boulevard. The application is consistent with both the 2010 countywide transportation plan and the revised 93 zoning ordinance. There will be many benefits to having this school in our county. First, it's revenue positive development that lies both within the Route 28 tax district and the Metro Rail tax district. Second, additionally, private schools capacity in Loudoun has the potential to relieve stress on our public school system if parents choose that private religious education is in their best interest. I'm glad to be supporting this great use that will be a great asset for Loudoun County. And once again, thank you, Joe, and representation for bringing it to us.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Loudoun County. I wish you would call it the Fairfax Loudoun Christian School. That would be a nice thing to do now. I also echo what Supervisor Williams said about the need for private school options in our county. It's great that you're moving here. Really is. I look forward to phase two. Do you have any idea when that might occur, or is that just essentially based on demand and so forth?
Once we get in, we will figure out when we'll start phase two.
Good. Very good. Well, I look forward to you having you being here. They have a lot of folks from the Leesburg area and West who are now going to Fairfax Christian School. So this is a very, very good use for Loudoun County in this area. And thank you, Joe and Dave and everybody in Fairfax Christian School for being here tonight. Fairfax Loudoun Christian School.
Yeah, we have Reston Bible Church, Reston Limousine, which would be nice if they could change it to Sterling. So I would agree. Joe, we certainly are delighted that you all have picked Loudoun to come to. I think it's will be good not only for you, but good for us. And so we're happy to welcome you here. Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you. When I first came to Washington in 1981, one of the first people families. I checked in with the Thorburn family, and I have a wonderful respect for the traditional conservative Christian philosophy of the Thorburn family that has an impact on this country, has an impact on this region. Presidential families have sent their children, presidential candidates, excuse me, Senate candidates, senators, congressmen, men and women who have served our country for the time that I've been here since I first arrived. I've only heard good things about the Fairfax Christian School. My own child, who my number six child, went there. It's a tremendous educational contribution to the country with its formula for traditional values. It's a beacon of hope. It established private Christian schools in this country at a time when the country needed it, and has been a role model for hundreds of schools in this country, and for thousands of students who have benefited from it, of many of which, some of which all of you have met at one point or another. That's the Thorburn family and the Fairfax Christian School. Joe, you've been active with other supervisors before I came here on the Board of Supervisors, and before Mr. York. I think even Mr. York goes back to your term. I think you've been active in Loudoun affairs. So this is really not a rival here. You've been here all these many years. So thanks for being here.
Further discussion? Ms. Volpe.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on some of the comments that have been made. I think it is going to be a wonderful addition to have a Fairfax Christian School here in our community. I believe the more, you know, options and choices that folks have is wonderful. And I know that you have a diverse group of students that come from different backgrounds that have all thoroughly enjoyed the excellent educational opportunities that they've had. You know, at your school, I believe even some foreign exchange students, you know, which is a feather in the cap for all of us here in Loudoun, for you all to be joining our community. Thank you.
Further discussion? Closing comments? Yes. All right. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Thank you. All right. Our next item is zoning conversion 2013-0003, Loudoun Parkway 1. All right. Do you have anything to add to your...
I don't have anything to add. Just want to let you know that I have the signed proffers in hand. And when you're making the motion, Supervisor Williams, please refer to the supplemental.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Harlow. Yeah, we just love all these supplementals. So... All right, very good. Any questions of staff at this time? Seeing none, does the applicant or representative have a presentation, Mr. Canonico?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Lou Canonico with Christopher Consultants, representing the applicant, Merit Properties. Do not have a formal presentation. For the record, have provided the staff with the affidavit of notice and posting. We appreciate all the hard work the staff has put into this application. We look forward to the board's approval. We would request that you suspend the rules and take action this evening. Thank you.
Very good. No members of the public to sign up to speak on this application. So, Mr. Williams, this is in your district.
All right. Thank you, Chairman. Just making sure I had the most latest and greatest version with all the supplements. I'm good. I got it. I think we're good. Chairman, I move the Board of Supervisors to suspend the rules.
Motion for suspension has been made, seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Mr. Williams.
Chairman, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZRTD 2013-0003, Loudoun Parkway 1, subject to the proffer statement dated October 11th, 2013, and based on the findings for approval contained in the December 10th, 2014 Board of Supervisors.
You have a problem in your motion.
Oh, all right. Here. Hold on. Give me a mulligan. Hold on. I move that the Board of Supervisors approves ERTD 2013-0003, Loudoun Parkway 1, subject to the proffer statement dated October 11th, 2013, revised through December 5th, 2014, and based on the findings for approval included as Attachment 1 in the memorandum.
Very good.
Very
good. Motion
has
been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion?
Chairman, this item is a routine Route 28 tax district zoning conversion to the revised 93 zoning ordinance. The conversion of this property to the revised 93 zoning ordinance would be more consistent with the land use policies contained in the revised general plan, which recommend the development of up to 100% office and flex uses with supportive commercial and retail services limited to 10% of the floor area. The conversion of the property to the revised 93 zoning ordinance is supported by the policies contained in the revised general plan.
Very good. My only comment is it might be helpful for staff when we have all these changes and motions just to do one blue or green sheet with the revised motions for us. I know you put them out in a packet next there, but it just might help tonight so we're on the same sheet of music. Glad to have another conversion in a Route 28 tax district. I still want one ordinance. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Thank you, Luke. Our next item is ZMAP 2013-20, or excuse me, 000212. Oh boy. Lim property. Time to change the glasses again. All right. Let me get on my sheet of music. Ms. McConnell, do you have anything to add to your staff report?
Yes, just two things. You do have a supplemental memo this evening that came out on Friday, provided signed proffers. They've been reviewed and approved by the attorney to form the so you have a revised motion in that supplemental memo. Also, I just wanted to clarify and point out that there was a discrepancy in the staff report and the ad. The applicant had originally requested a buffer modification reduction to 25 feet. That would have been from 50 to 25, and then they revised it subsequently to 30 feet. And so there was, in two places, that was overlooked by me. And so it doesn't affect the ad because the intensity of the buffer modification has not been increased. But I just wanted to point that out.
All right, very good. Any questions of staff at this time? Seeing none, does the applicant or representative have a presentation? Ms. Crown, welcome.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Packy Crown, and I'm here tonight representing Ryland Homes. We have submitted the affidavits posting a notice. We are obviously in agreement with the staff in this case. The staff and Planning Commission have recommended approval of this application, and as Kate said, the signed proffers have been provided to you tonight. I do have a presentation. I'd be happy to make the presentation, but in the interest of time, and I see the shaking of the head, I will forego the presentation, but be happy to answer any questions that you have. There were two questions very, very briefly that I would like to address that dealt with a pedestrian trail system in the vicinity of this project. This applicant is proffering to construct the multipurpose trail along Croson Lane, which would be on the southern side, and it would finish out the pedestrian trail that will run from Windermere all the way west to Belmont Ridge Road. And there is a 10-foot trail on the north side of Croson Lane along Alexander's Chase as well. We have also researched whether the traffic signal, which you have moved up in your CIP to be installed at Belmont Ridge Road and Croson, that will be installed in the next year, year and a half, that signal will include pedestrian actuation. The installation of all the conduit, everything will be installed with the signal. The actual crossing lights may not be installed until Belmont Ridge Road widening occurs at a later date because of the volumes and the reconstruction of some of that area that will need to occur. But this project will provide all of the easements that are necessary. And, in fact, when we were talking to staff about the pedestrian-actuated light, they said the fact that this property may go forward for development will help to facilitate and help to justify pedestrian actuation at that intersection as well.
All right. Very good. Mr. Williams.
Yes, thank you, and that's a good point. We did. We are trying to push that light out to make sure that it can accommodate the four lanes. So we're fixing squaring away that intersection. We're very familiar with this site, as you can imagine, because we considered it for another use. And during that discussion, there was some concerns, and we did some environmental impact analysis on the property, and there was found to be some mitigation required in terms of developing this property. Has your development found those issues? And if so, what assurances could the board get that we're going to mitigate any environmental impacts prior to construction happening?
You're correct. There were, when the school board looked at it, they did several studies. Our client did several studies by different environmental and geotech firms. They also were privy to the reports that were done for the school board. They've analyzed all of that and are very satisfied that they can mitigate any of the environmental issues that may be presented as development occurs. And in fact, there are no hazardous materials on that site. It has been used as a dump site, but not for hazardous materials, so they feel very comfortable that it can be developed.
Okay, because we want to get it cleaned up.
Yes.
And I guess my thought was we start building townhouses there and covering it, and then something comes up that we didn't know was there. But it sounds like you're aware of it, and thank you.
Questions, Mr. Higgins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the information on the trails. We had talked about that
yes,
when we met, so I appreciate that. As I said, we've run into that problem with four-lane road at Riverside Parkway and River Creek Parkway, and now we're trying to backfill and find trails that weren't there, so I'm glad to hear that. So I'll take care of it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Other questions of applicant, Mr. Letourneau?
Well, it's sort of it's both for applicant and staff. Just piggybacking on the question that Supervisor Williams asked, so I assume that our building and development department would be working in concert with the applicant on any sort of question about mitigation for the building on the material if there is something there. I just want to make sure that that is part of our normal process, which I assume it is.
During the site plan review and CPAPs and things like that, they would have to meet the FSM requirements, so I believe those things would be covered in that by that.
Right, because I would agree that getting the site cleaned up is a big part of this.
Other questions of the applicant? We have no members of the public signed up to speak on this item. Dulles District, Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and move to suspend the rules.
Motion has been made for suspension, seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. Mr. Letourneau.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approves ZMAP 2013-0012, Lim Properties, subject to the proper statement dated December 1, 2014, and based on the findings for approval in the December 10, 2014 Board of Supervisors public hearing staff report.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion on a motion, Mr.
Yeah, a couple of things that Packy didn't mention. This has been a little bit of a long process on this one. I'd like to thank my planning commissioner, who really did a fantastic job, Jeff Stellman, working with the applicant and the community. There were some concerns from the adjoining property at Windermere. This application, I think, has come a long way. When it came into us, when it came into the county, it was for 120 units. It's now at 80 units. One of the big concerns the community had was losing mature trees that existed along the property line and sort of ruining the sense of calm and view that they had in Windermere, and the applicant ended up agreeing to keep the 30-foot buffer but also keep the mature tree line that existed. So rather than cutting down trees and planting new ones that wouldn't be nearly as mature, that was a concession that was made. I think, the reality of this situation in this spot is that there has been approved rezonings in every direction, with the exception, really, of this property. So I don't think there's a justification for us to say no when it comes to this one. And I appreciate the fact that the applicant has worked with us to make this, I think, a better application. And I also think the fact that the existing condition of the property is not an asset to the area, to put it kindly, is means that we will be getting some benefit here, as well as the contribution to the improvements on Croson Lane, which need to be made, and to the intersection. And I agree with Supervisor Williams. We would like the light on and operating earlier than what the current plan is, but that's not the applicant's problem. We are working on that with VDOT and the county. So in any event, I will support the application, and like I said, I appreciate where we've come on it, because it has come a long way.
Ms. Clark.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to disclose that I had a conference call with Ms. Crown and folks from her team a couple of weeks ago on the CMAP 2013-0012, and I do appreciate you appropriately addressing the trail connectivity and the safe pedestrian access. Thank you.
Mr. Williams.
Yeah, just briefly, I just want to say I'm kind of in awe that Supervisor Turner is suspending the rules. But I'm very pleased we're getting this pushed through. It's Christmas, and I'm just kidding, my friend. Also want to recognize my friend Joel Charlotte, who's here in the audience, and he actually, I'm not sure in a formal capacity, but lives in the Alexandria's Chase community across the street, who certainly will be impacted in that community, is very supportive of this application. So you definitely, I mean, if you know this area, you know this is an area that's sorely in need of some improvement. We tried to consider getting a school there. That didn't happen. And again, as hard as it is for us to kind of approve additional residential, I mean, frankly, this is consistent with the land and probably as good as we're going to get for this piece of property. So appreciate the applicant working with everybody.
Further discussion?
No opposition, so no problem.
Do you want a no vote? I don't know. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Item number 9, ZOAM 2014-0002, proposed zoning ordinance amendments to add or reclassify private schools, elementary, middle, and high, for 15 or fewer pupils as a permanent or permitted use, minor special exception use, or special exception use in certain zoning districts, and to add or reclassify private schools, elementary, middle, and high, for more than 15 pupils as a minor special exception use or special exception use in certain zoning districts. And Mr. Polk, do you have anything to add to your staff report on this?
No, sir.
Are there any questions of staff at this time? Ms. Volpe?
Yes, I just wanted to see, as you all have been going through this, have you received any input from any of the existing, currently operating private schools? Any questions or, you know, anything that maybe they would have thought of that we're not overlooking some technical issue?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
All right, other questions? All right. Seeing none, are there any no speakers on this? And board members, this is something that we worked on in the Land Use Committee and pretty well put it all together before we brought it to you all. So I think it's good and ready to go. So I'm going to move that the board suspend the rules.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Delgadio. Discussion on suspension. Seeing none. All in. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll wait for the main motion.
Very good. All in favor of suspension signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will be unanimous. Board members, I'll move that the Board of Supervisors approves OM 2014-0002 private schools provided as attachment 2 to the staff report for the Board of Supervisors. It just is not making any sense to me. I move the Board of Supervisors approves OM 2014-0002 private schools provided as attachment 2 to the staff report for the Board of Supervisors December. This is not making this. Yeah, but it's still just not reading right to me. But anyway, motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Delgadio. Discussion on a motion.
Yes.
Mr. Delgadio.
Did you want to do an opening?
No, don't need to.
Appreciate the rocket docket we're on tonight, and Chairman Volpe of the Land Use Committee was gracious enough to allow me to discuss as a committee discussion at the time, why don't we just move this ahead like we did with the public schools, and the members of the Land Use Committee and Transportation Committee were gracious enough to be open enough to allow essentially the saving of years of staff work by simply moving ahead and making it look like the public school options in the same district. So that's the short summary of what this is, and it's been many years of waiting for this, and I'm going to shut up so we can pass it.
Mr. Reed.
Thank you. Julie, or anyone else on staff. So right now, any kind of private school, even if it has five students, has to come in to the county with an application? Or has there always been a 15-student and below exemption?
Dependent upon which zoning district they're being located, currently 15 pupils or less for elementary or middle are permitted as permitted uses.
That's
in
right
certain
now.
Districts or as a full special exception.
You don't have any situation where people are trying to say that a daycare center is a school? You don't?
No.
Okay. So we have no situation where that's occurring. Okay. Again, just, you know, I just want to point out for the record for those who are listening, and I usually do this in cases like this. This is strictly for the county folks. It will not, you know, impact what's in the incorporated town of Leesburg, and I don't know about Purcellville if they have a zoning ordinance for schools. so I just wanted to make that point clear, unless I'm mistaken, staff, and you can correct me. The town might have its own streamlined procedure for private schools. I'm not aware of it, but this is strictly for those areas in the county, correct? Thank you.
All right, further discussion, and I'll just close. I want to thank staff for having worked with me and particularly you guys and Laura Kelly for getting this and getting it cleaned up. And I think this will be a benefit to all in helping the private schools to have an easier time. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. And with that, board members, let us take a 10-minute recess, and then we'll finish the last two cases. All right, board members, we reconvene our meeting. Our last two cases, which we will do together, and so we will have both presentations simultaneously before we take any action. And so for the members of the public who are signed up on item number 10, we will call you up to speak when we are done with both 10 and 11's presentations. And board members, staff will do a presentation about 10 to 15 minutes. I believe you have the applicant, because of the two applications, actually has up to 20 minutes. I hope they don't need to take that long on that. So with that, we have ZCPA 2012-0006, ZMOD 2012-0005, special exception 2012-0026, special exception 2013-0026, and special exception 2013-0027, Bramilton Town Center, and item number 11, ZMAP 2012-0013, and ZCPA 2012-0009, Bramilton Land Bays 1, 3, and 5. And Ms. McConnell, I'll turn the time over to you.
Good evening. First, I just want to give you just a brief overview of the history of Brambleton this evening. What's the area generally known as Brambleton has the originally approved Brambleton area that's in salmon or pink on the slide, and then there are several additional private developments that have been incorporated into the larger community of Brambleton, but not the original Brambleton proffers. The Brambleton proper was approved in 1995 with just over 6,000 dwelling units. In 2004-2005, the Trent Grove and Belmont Trace applications, private applications, were or developments were approved for another 318 units. The following year, the Brambleton proper or original Brambleton proffers were revised to include the town center, which is part will be before you again this evening, and the Brambleton golf course. Did not add any additional residential units. And then in 2007, the Brambleton Brant, Brambleton Corner, and Town Center residential and active adult applications were approved, which added another 429 market rate units as well as 1,500 active adult units. And then just this last year, Evermont Trace, another private development was approved for additional 90 units. So overall in this area, there are over 8,500 dwelling units approved. In what we are considering, Brambleton proper or the original Brambleton proffers, the two applications before you this evening are amending those proffers. The town center will add an additional 48 units, and that is in the my mouse isn't working. The pointer's not working, but it's in green. Thank you. Up there you go. And then also Brambleton Land Bays 1, 3, and 5, this proposal is to add an additional 458 units. And so that would be a total of 6,746 units in the what would be considered under the original Brambleton proffers. So with that, Brambleton Town Center application is in, the property is 35 acres in the southeast corner of North Star Boulevard and Ryan Road. Currently, it's zoned PDCCCC and is approved for 500,000 square feet of non-residential units. 40% of that is permitted to be office, which is 200,000 square feet. As you can see from the aerial here, it's partially developed, and this application is to amend those proffers, or to redesign the Brambleton Town Center. So that would be a rezoning to of just over 3 acres to R16 to permit those 48 townhouses units I already mentioned, increasing the non-residential square footage by 40,000 square feet to accommodate a public library and to privatize Olympia Drive. A little bit more about the library. It's being proffered under the Land Bays 1, 3, and 5 application, which is what you will hear next. It'll be in the first two floors of Building H in the Brambleton Town Center. The applicant's proffering construction of the shell and dedication of that space valued at $10.8 million, and the applicant would be taking a capital facilities credit for the 48 townhomes, as well as credit for homes constructed under land phase 1, 3, and 5. For that application, the capital facilities credit in the town center application would be $1.6 million. In terms of proffered contributions, the applicant is making all the anticipated contributions to the county, with the exception of the open space preservation program contribution. That would be anticipated between $120,000 and $160,000, and it is a contribution that's anticipated with all residential rezonings to help offset the increase in density in the suburban policy area. This money is used for publicly accessible open space to either purchase or also undertake improvements in county-owned open space properties. There are three special exception applications. There's a parking reduction in the commercially zoned part of the town center. Staff is in support of that application or that request. There's also a request to increase the permitted office from 40% of the permitted square footage to 65%. Staff's also in support of that proposal with conditions that are recommended by staff. And then there's an application for an automobile service station in the southwest corner of the town center. Staff is generally supportive of this application. However, the staff recommended two conditions of approval to mitigate the impact of reducing the open space buffer south of the convenience store building from 75 feet to 20 feet. This is adjacent to a residential zoning district to the south. And those conditions would be to have limited hours of operation, not a 24-hour operation, and also to preclude audiovisual equipment at the convenience store and gas pumps. The Planning Commission, their recommendation struck those conditions. However, staff is still recommending them to make this use compatible adjacent to the residential uses. In terms of transportation improvements, the applicant is contributing to fully fund a signal at Ryan Road and Olympia Drive, and also to contribute enough money to complete funding at a intersection at that automobile service station at Suave Drive and North Star Boulevard. And those two contributions mitigate the impacts of these additional uses in the town center, and all the intersections in the area would operate at an acceptable level of service. I did fail to mention when I was talking about the original proposal that there is staff does have an outstanding issue with the redesign of the town center, and the fact that there's no commitment to build any of the commercial space prior to the residential space. And staff would be seeking a commitment for that. There's a concern that the residents, the 48 townhouses, would be constructed without those commercial spaces, commercial buildings being constructed, which would round out the town center and make it the vibrant center place that the applicant is seeking. Again, there's no open space preservation contribution, and staff is continuing to recommend conditions limiting the hours of operation at the automobile service station, as well as audiovisual devices. And as you see in your staff report, this county attorney is still reviewing the proffers, and so staff is recommending forwarding the application to a business meeting in January. While we are generally supportive of the application, staff has no recommendation at this time due to those outstanding issues. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Ms. McConnell at this time? Ms. Volpe.
Thank you. Just one quick question. You noted the service station is adjacent to a residential use. Is there a road between them? How deep? What type of residential use is on that?
There is no road. The property lines are adjacent. Okay. It's a zoning district. It's currently actually approved for townhouses. The preliminary subdivision has been approved. So there would be 20 feet as requested by the applicant on the automobile service station side, and then an additional 25 to 30 feet of buffer on the south side that would be required in the residential zoning district.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you. Can you explain to me, I've read the packet multiple times, but what exactly triggers the library proffer?
The library proffer is triggered in the land base 1, 3, and 5 application,
right,
and it would be the 500th residential yet zoning permit, but Marchant could answer that more.
Quickly, it's moving from the age restricted to 1, 3, and 5, but what then will trigger it at 1, 3, and 5?
Okay, it's moving from active adult to the town center. 1, 3, and 5 is proffering to build that. Prior to the 500th residential unit in Land Bays 1A and 1B, they will have the construction plans ready. And then 1 year prior to the county funding the library on the CIP, they will have the building erected.
I don't recall. Do we have it in the CIP right now?
I believe you do.
Yes.
I think you're correct, dude.
Okay. I think it's 2019, I believe.
Is there any minimum commitment to commence one of those two non-residential buildings? Is it strictly the 500, it's building permit or occupancy?
It would be a zoning permit.
Zoning permit for the 500th unit. So when do we think that roughly would trigger? Can we tell at all? There's no phasing, which I can live without. But I'm trying to understand what minimum commitment is made to get the library going. And maybe the applicant can explain that better in theirs, but maybe you've got an answer for that.
And they'll hopefully shake my head if I say it correctly, but I would anticipate since it's the latter part of that is that they have to erect it prior to the CIP being funded, that would be the trigger. So if you that happens before the 500th unit, I believe the applicant intends to build the building.
Exactly, and Colleen Gillis with Cooley for the record, it is certainly the opposite of our intention to build a building that we either turn over to the county that the county then has to operate, pay operating expenses, you know, condominium fees, et cetera, for, or alternatively have a building lay vacant there while we wait for the CIP to fund it. So we were trying to be mindful of when it gets funded in the CIP so that it's ready for the county's use, but not too early so that it becomes either an obligation on the books of the county or alternatively lays so vacant.
Let me, last question because I'm running out of time. So the CIP, if the CIP hits before the 500th unit, the CIP triggers it, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Well, all right, any other questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Kong. Mr. Snyder, application 11.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to embarrass Julie a little bit. This is her last public hearing item that she will sit through in her career. That wasn't by design that I was that, but I'm privileged to be that individual. So enjoyed very much serving underneath you, and I will miss you. That being said, this is the second of the two Brambleton applications before you. Just to orient you to the original approved or the approved development that's out there today, 1, 3, and 5 is identified in red. The original Brambleton was 4 land bays. This relates to 1, 3, and 5. Land bay 5 is north of Ryan Road. Land bay 1 is in this general location. What you see is that 53 acres are being added to the development to accommodate a middle school and high school site. Land bay 3 is predominantly south of Creighton Road. The applicant is proposing to repurpose a dairy barn complex as part of a community center, and that will add additional 15 acres to the overall development program. This is an illustrative to provide a different view of the projects. You'll see the regional park to the north, the school sites that are proffered throughout. And then just for orientation, this is North Star Boulevard, Belmont Ridge Road, Loudoun County Parkway, and Evergreen Mills Road. And just for reference, this is Creighton Road, this is Shreveport Road. I'm going to generally overview these applications for you. This is the concept development plan, more or less starting from north to south, Land Bay 5, north of Ryan Road. At its inception, it was going to be a residential land bay. The applicant, through the process, changed that to a recreational center with a pool and open space. Moving south of Ryan Road and east of Evergreen Mills Road, Land Bay 1, the applicant proposes an additional 458 residential dwelling units. As part of the discussions with the applicant, they've agreed to restrict townhomes to the east side of the land bay and single family to the west. This would allow for the transition of uses into our transition in rural policy areas. They're also proposing to repurpose former fairways for the golf course, the second golf course that they had intended to develop. That's going to be converted to open space for use by the community. And there's also a series of zoning modifications that relate to lot coverage for single family homes, lot sizes, and also setback reductions. Excuse me. Next, there was a third elementary school site with the original rezoning, and that was in Land Bay 1. It was in this general location that has been relocated to the east side of the Land Bay, and is anticipated that this will fill the ES-27 need identified by the capital improvements program for the school board. Next, the second, what they're calling a public use site, is intended as a middle school and high school site. That is intended to fill the need for the MS-9 and HS-11. This site encompasses three different zoning districts, PDH-4, TR-3, and TR-10. At the commission's direction and also by agreement of the applicant, they are rezoning the entirety of that site to TR-3 to match the planned transition area that applies to the site. Okay. They're also proposing, and this was more in the general areas identified in orange, they're wishing to exchange previously approved single-family detached homes for townhomes. The increase from 500 that's currently approved up to 700, and they proportionally reduce the single-family detached units. Okay. As we just talked about, they're proffering to construct the library at the Bramlington Town Center. That would be 40,000 square feet of condo space within an office building. Next, they're proposing a Bramlington Center. That is the Dairy Barn complex I referred to. It's at the corner of Shreveport Drive and Belmont Ridge Road. They propose two things. One, to take 2 3-acre religious facility sites that were programmed for Land Bay 1 and Land Bay 3, consolidated with this site to accommodate religious services as part of their center. It's going to be a quasi-religious assembly, community center, farmers market. There's an array of uses that they wish to do as part of the redevelopment of that Dairy Barn complex. Transportation improvements. The traffic impact analysis assessed the impact of the additional 458 units. That analysis did not identify any road improvements beyond what Bramlington was already proffered to build. That being said, there are several improvements they've agreed to accelerate as part of the public use sites. First, Creighton Road. Previously, it was to be developed tandem with the residential development. They are agreeing to construct that road as part of the development of the school sites. Phase one would be from North Star to serve the elementary school site. And then the second phase would be to serve the public use site, the middle school and the high school site. And that is to be completed by 2017. Next, Evergreen Mills Road, again, previously tied to development of the Land Bay. They've agreed to do a series of turn lane improvements, widening right away toward Evergreen Mills Road. Traffic signals, they're proffering to do a traffic signal at Evergreen Mills Road and Creighton Road, and also North Star Boulevard and Creighton Road. They've also, in the interest of making sure we have adequate traffic flow along Shreveport Drive, down at Belmont Ridge Road and Shreveport Drive, they've actually already submitted a signal analysis, and it's intended to work with the county to identify some of the proffer monies we already have to put a light at that location if it's warranted. They've also asked to escrow funds for the crossing of North Fork Creek. This would be where North Star Boulevard crosses Shreveport. It was going to be extended down to Evergreen. They're proffering to escrow that, and that would meet up with the CIP that the county has to build North Star north-south of Route 50. And there's also a series of pedestrian underpasses along Creighton Road to serve the school sites, and also an additional 2 bus shelters. Last of the elements of the application, as regards to capital facilities. In lieu of a per-unit capital facility contribution, regional road contribution, and mass transit contribution, they are offering the school sites, the library, and regional road improvements that I described. The total of these improvements exceed the anticipated contribution by about $17 million. Last, with regards to the staff recommendation, staff is otherwise supportive of the amended residential density, transportation improvements, and capital facilities. We have identified an issue for your consideration regarding the Bramlington Center. That center is planned industrial and located within the LDNs associated with Dulles International Airport. The policies would not otherwise envision religious and community assembly uses in the LDN given the potential for impact by aircraft noise. The commission was supportive of this concept based on several things. One, the adaptive reuse of that barn, several agreements that was made in coordination with MWA regarding noise attenuation, navigation easements, disclosures, and the like. and also the applicant's agreement to move away from a PDH zoning district, implicitly a housing district, and going to straight just to a commercial district. But we have identified that, again, for your consideration. Much like Town Center, we're continuing to review the proffers and concept plan. A lot of that had to do with the commission recommendations that came out of their discussion, and we have recommended you defer action until January so we could bring back the final proffer for your action. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions of Marchant at this time? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to, board members, take the unusual step and actually add to staff's report on another item that has kind of become a little topic, we'll say, in cyberspace. But I think the and it's going to end up being kind of a topic, I'm sure, as we get into this application. But I want to make sure that the board understands very clear what has been happening over the past year. Both Bramilton and a few of us on this board were very, kind of came away with a little bit of concern as we were proceeding forward with the development of 606. As we were going forward, the plan has been really to build the curb on 606 and what have you. And so from my perspective and several of you that I've talked to, we felt that this was problematic because we didn't want to go to improving the four lanes on 606, build the curb only in to have the situation in a year or two to have the developer come in and have to reconstruct that curb in order to tie Loudoun County Parkway into it. It's going to be a mess the first time we have to reroute traffic as a result of the going through the improvements to 606, only to make a nightmare to have to do it twice in just a few short years. So what we did, working with both our staff, VDOT, and folks from Bramilton, we sat down, we looked at the proposal that Bramilton had with respect to how they had designed it, because their original proffers, they were to take and improve the road all the way down, I think, to intersection by Evergreen Mills Road. And so, and plus, their plans are kind of different from where VDOT's head was. So we also had an alignment problem from an elevation standpoint. In all of this, obviously, the question is, was timing on the issue? The intent has always been, at least made in representation to me and Mr. Calabrese, you're here, you can correct me if I'm wrong when your time is up to, or, I mean, your time is to speak, that their intent was to get the project done and felt that they could get the road faster, completed even before VDOT was going to get their road in place. Obviously, there are some still details that we have to work out design-wise and cost, because Bramilton was responsible for building that section of Loudoun County Parkway down to Evergreen. They will have to do a cash in lieu back to the county, because right now, as we are working this issue, it is our hope, and things seem to be working out that direction, and Mr. Kroboth, you may want to come and speak to this, that VDOT, through their current contract with Shirley, will build now an intersection as opposed to the curb, so that even if the developer didn't bring Loudoun County Parkway down, we would have the interchange in place so that 606 at Loudoun County Parkway would be done at one time. But I think with everything that is going on, I am so far comfortable that the earth, the moon, and the stars, and the sun are all aligning that this project will be done and completed, so that the day when 606 is completely done, Loudoun County Parkway will be done as well. And so that is my update. I very much appreciate the concerns of some of my colleagues. We will get into that later. But I just wanted board members to know that we have been working with VDOT in trying to ensure that 606 and Loudoun County Parkway, irrespective of any developer portion, or excuse me, irrespective of what happens at Loudoun County Parkway, would be completely done as originally planned with the tie-in of Loudoun County Parkway one way or another. So we're only constructing that portion once, not two different times within about a 5 to 6 year, 6 year period. Mr. Kroboth, have I misrepresented anything or misstated anything?
No, Chairman, your summary is accurate.
Okay, thank you. So that is with respect to that project. Now, I will, or any questions of staff before? Okay. Okay. At this, I'm sorry, Mr. Letourneau.
On that issue, the understanding that I've had on this is that the portion constructed by VDOT and Shirley as part of the project would likely occur somewhere in the early part of 2017. That's accurate, right?
That's the anticipated completion date.
The reason for that is because of the extent of the utility work that would need to occur just north of 606.
That
so
is correct.
That really can't be accelerated, correct?
It cannot.
That's 2017 is as early as it really can be.
That's correct.
So the question then would become on the remaining sections of Loudoun County Parkway, and that's a discussion that we'll have. But as far as that portion's concern, that becomes a certainty that we have that agreement in place, and that could occur in 2017.
Well, we're very early in the construction process, but that is the contractual completion date, and Shirley has reaffirmed that date in most recent meetings.
Thank you.
All right, does the applicant or representative have a presentation? And again, because the applications are combined, you'll have up to 20 minutes, but I hope we don't take that long. Ms. Colleen Gillis.
I will not take that long. My name is Colleen Gillis. I'm an attorney with Cooley, as I said earlier. Before I get started, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. I won't see you again except in the grocery store between now and the first of the year, so I wanted to get that out of the way. If you can switch over, Jenny, the presentation, though. Thank you. I'm here this evening to speak very briefly on the Brambleton Town Center application. I'd like to rephrase it or retitle it, if you will, the Small But Mighty application, because this application, while small in the scope of all that is Brambleton and all that will be Brambleton, the reality is that it has the potential, with your concurrence and your approval, to really influence not just how Brambleton residents live, but all of us who live in the central part of the county, whether they be in the Blue Ridge District, whether they be in the Dulles District, the Broad Run District, and all of us in the central part of the county, how we live and enjoy Brambleton. By way of overview, this gives you a sense of what's going on in Brambleton Town Center. This is a view looking from the west over Legacy Park, Olympia Drive, running north and south, obviously right here. And we were proposing 48 townhomes that would flank our central park and the central green space here, the library being in the background, and for orientation purposes, Sport and Health to the south, and the theater all the way in the back of the property. We've already seen from Kate, this is what the proposed illustrative of the library would look like. We're really excited about this because we think it's an absolutely complementary use to the Brambleton Town Center, something that will drive energy, drive vitality, and obviously provide an important amenity to those of us who live in and around Brambleton. The library would be located on the two bottom floors here and would meet the same architectural standards as the rest of the Brambleton Town Center. We've already committed to conditions committing to the architecture within the proffers, and we're excited about that. Likewise, with the architecture, we're proposing 48 townhomes, more urban type of townhomes that bring energy and vitality. We think with this type of inclusion of the townhomes within the town center, that we will drive greater traffics, encourage more retailers, restaurants, and users to the town center. And we think that this is, again, from the theme of a small but mighty, 48 townhomes, less than a 1% increase in the overall density of Brambleton, though can really change the face, the character, and the vibrancy of the town center. We have also included, as Kate pointed out, a gas station. For any of us who live in this part of the county, all the way from the northern end of Evergreen Mills Road to the southern end of Evergreen Mills Road, all the way along Loudoun County Parkway and Ryan Road today, there are there's an incredible dearth of gas stations. This is number one need, and I look to Supervisor Clark with this. It's probably the number one thing that you hear about from your residents and your constituents. They need, they want, we have to have a gas station, and so we're excited about this. We've tried very much to fit this in to the town center and have mitigated the impacts on the surrounding residents. To answer a question that I heard earlier, the 8-foot wall, we proposed an 8-foot wall along the southern boundary here. The residential units that are located to the south, Supervisor Volpe, are not yet constructed. They're not yet constructed, and we've already agreed to notify them and to provide disclosure that they have to sign off on, that they know that a gas station is going there. So they will know before they move in that there's a gas station going there. Also, we're berming along North Star Boulevard. Quite frankly, quite honestly, if we were to meet the ordinance-mandated setbacks, a gas station just doesn't happen here. You constrain this site so that it doesn't happen here. And I will tell you that there's not a constituent, not a person in the area that doesn't need this. I have been one of those that knows exactly how far down zero means. Additionally, this application allows us to calm traffic along Olympia Drive and privatize that street so as to shut it down for farmers markets and the like. And Kate went through the outstanding issues of phasing. I'll be very, very brief here. With regard to the phasing of the 48 townhomes, phasing and other developments obviously may make sense. In this case, 48 townhomes is a very small number of townhomes, one. Two, the very need for the townhomes itself is to drive traffic to the town center and make it more vibrant. To hold up the commercial development that we hope is driven there by the arrival of the townhomes just quite frankly doesn't make sense. Secondly, the open space preservation contribution. Brambleton itself is over-proffered already. Already has provided more than it's required at full build-out open space. So we already met our open space requirements, requiring at this point to contribute to the open space preservation program, quite frankly, we don't think makes a whole lot of sense. This illustrative shows you just how much open space you can get a sense for how much green is already in Brambleton. And then with regard to the automobile service station, your planning commission unanimously and wholeheartedly endorsed that the automobile service station and Brambleton should be able to be responsive to what the market demands are to make a vibrant automobile service station happen here. And they rejected limitations on hours. They rejected limitations on audiovisual monitors at the pumps. And simply, we support the Planning Commission and hope you do as well. The benefits here, obviously, a library, vibrant town center, no loss of commercial square footage. And I should note, because it's something that's important to you all, we've increased the amount of square footage, commercial square footage in the town center. And we think that that's something that you all would be excited about. Much needed gas station, as I said, privatizing Olympia Drive, traffic signal, unmet housing needs contributions. And for all of these reasons and all of the ones that are enumerated and you see elsewhere in the staff report, we respectfully request your support of this application for the benefit of Brambleton and the greater community. And I yield the rest of my time to Mr. Calabrese. We should have worked better on the baton handoff here, like a track star.
I'm neither as tall or as loud or as quickly or eloquently spoken as my colleague, but I will take a little bit of her time and listen to the admonishment and not do the full repertoire of all the many, many good slides I have. I've distributed, again, Tony Calabrese with Cooley. We've submitted our notification for the record. I'm really proud to present this along with several other important cases which will be coming to the board in early 2015. We've been working diligently for over 3 years on most of these cases. It's pretty amazing. We've taken a holistic view of the Brambleton community and really tried in every single way, from a transportation, school, amenity, open space, tax base perspective, to make it better for the reasons we'll discuss this evening. I've distributed a number of letters of support to the board, which were submitted to the Planning Commission. Very quickly, I think some of the salient facts and statistics, Marshawn alluded to them. The combined proffer contributions requirements of both Land Base 1, 3, and 5 and Town Center reflected there amount to about $19 million. As shown at the bottom of the graphic, our total proffer, this is not our total proffer package. There are a number of things that we're doing for which we're not asking for, nor seeking or getting capital facilities credit. But consistent with your capital facilities policies, we're at about $35 million, $16 million to the good, to the county. In addition, I think this is really relevant. It was to your planning commissioners when they unanimously recommended approval of this case to you. Not only do we have a much higher value, but we're accelerating dramatically these improvements. Rather than doling out dollar contribution over many years of the development of this case, we're actually putting in place the improvements that I'm going to allude to. I'm not going to go through all five cases. We don't have time. I don't think that's your desire this evening, but I do think it's helpful to set a little bit of a context. The largest case, 1, 3, and 5, before you, Town Center, quickly, well-reviewed by Colleen, fantastic case, brilliant idea to have, I think, what will be the premier public library in the Town Center. We couldn't be more excited. The active adult application, I'm going to dwell on this for just a minute or two because it goes to some of the comments made by Mr. York and Mr. Letourneau and others. The active adult application, we've gone through a number of beneficial changes. This was approved about 8 years ago. We've recently amended the application. It will remain all age restricted. There are no market rate units associated with this case. There's not an increase of even one single unit associated with this case. And very relevant to our deliberations, this is the case that controls Loudoun County Parkway and the properties associated with it. That road bifurcates that property, and we spent a lot of time years ago working on it. This simple graphic, which I think I've distributed to the board as well, embellishes on the comments made by the chair, and I think really importantly helps reflect the tremendous amount of work. Unfortunately, the road's not open because it's under construction, so most people don't know it's there, but I'll show you a couple of great slides in a moment. Toll Brothers is rapidly trying to catch up with the tremendous amount of work that Brambleton has done over about the last year and a half on its 0.93 of a mile of Loudoun County Parkway, about $21.5 million of improvements for just the Brambleton section of Loudoun County Parkway. And to the comments that were just made, there's been a tremendous, really laudable effort by many in this room, by VDOT, by the county and the developer, to ensure that we don't have a debacle here at the confluence of Arcola Road, 606, and Loudoun County Parkway. It's a real credit, again, to most of the people sitting in this room this evening. We're delighted and happy to work together with you to make this link happen in a timely fashion. If you haven't seen, I sent to the board yesterday, I think Ms. Clark distributed it as well. If you have 3 minutes at some point in all your spare time, of which you have none, please look at the two drone shots of the Toll Brothers section and the Brambleton work that's been completed on Loudoun County Parkway. It's pretty astounding. We've done about 75% of our work. It's really interesting to see from the drone perspective. It's better if you have a minute or a couple of minutes. We'll be happy to take you at any point over the holidays so you can drive up and down and get a flavor for the tremendous amount of work that has been done on Loudoun County Parkway. And to Mr. York's comments, we have distributed to the board this afternoon, again, an additional commitment with regard to Loudoun County Parkway. Specifically, we have now stated, and we didn't have time to amend the proffers, but we'll be happy to do so after the board deliberations this evening and prior to conclusion of this case, to specifically state that we cannot proceed with even one of the new proposed units associated with the application before you this evening, that we cannot pull a zoning permit and start construction of even one of those new homes in the absence of having completed our section of Loudoun County Parkway. And to the point of timing, Toll Brothers has to have its section open within about 60 days of when we're open. We're on track right now for the majority of our work, the majority of what's reflected here in the green, to be completed by next summer. The VDOT project, as Mr. Crobath reconfirmed, is slated for early 2017. Is that as fast as anybody around this horseshoe would like? Of course not. Is that still pretty amazing and pretty impressive considering the tens of millions of dollars of county and state funds? I, for one, in the spring of 2017, look forward to seeing all of you at that groundbreaking and putting my car on those roads. It's a really impressive public-private cooperative effort. Shreveport, we won't get into tonight. That's not coming to your attention until late next year. I didn't steal this from Ms. Clark, but we hope to employ her, to steal away and court her employer someday to the case there at the southern portion, which will be coming up late next year as well. I do want to highlight, it's amazing to me, we spend so much time on the barn, and I'm not going to let my couple of minutes stolen from Colleen lapse without talking about the barn. But one of the many really interesting element to this case. We just alluded to the public-private cooperative effort to make Loudoun County Parkway and 606 work. I want to talk about schools for a second, and I'm glad Sam Adamo is here. These are the three existing Brambleton schools, very popular, very successful, were accelerated dramatically in terms of our proffer commitments. Most of you saw this graphic. This is where the application started. I remember very distinctly meeting with Ms. Clark, with Chairman York, Mr. Letourneau, and Mr. Williams together. We looked at this graphic, and we had a really innovative proposal. That was to cluster the elementary, middle, and high school and to have a joint use program with Hanson Park in terms of the fields. We thought that was a really creative idea. Everybody thought it. Didn't get traction for a whole bunch of different reasons. We took to heart the direction that we heard from many of you and have made dramatic and beneficial changes. We moved the elementary school, as reflected here. We increased dramatically. The total size of the dedication when the application started for the three schools was going to be 78 acres. It's now 107 acres. As this board knows so well, the elementary school is, in fact, funded. ES-27 was on the bond referendum, and is slated to open in the fall of 2016. Similarly, the middle school, funded by the last bond referendum as well, MS-9, slated to open in the fall of 2017, hopefully the high school in 2020. And what's critical about this discussion, Mr. Adamo can embellish on this, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, is that in order to meet these schedules, the schools have to own the property as quickly as possible in 2015, and they basically want to let contracts and start construction for both the elementary school and the middle school. Sam, I think it's in March or April. It's that early. That's the only way to get the elementary school done on time, the middle school done on time and open. And again, reflective of Brambleton's long cooperative history and partnership with the members of this Board of Supervisors in this county, we have spent well over $500,000 and done something that's unprecedented, at least in my couple of decades before this board, and it's really worked out well, and I hope we use it as a model. We're not trying to put Mr. Adamo and Ms. Harrod O'Brien out of work, but we're processing all the legislative approvals for these three schools. We have submitted the site plan for the elementary school. It's actively processing it, building and development. Same with the middle school. Same critically with Creighton Road. We have to get started on constructing Creighton Road in order to make sure that their construction schedule is not impeded. And it has been a really laudable effort. I think it's very important. You can't talk about schools when we don't talk about capacity. And this is one graphic that I think helps highlight how not only Brambleton, but critically all the surrounding areas have benefited as well. That's the student generation at the top associated with the two applications before you this evening. The middle and high school capacity created by these proposals amount to 3,000 seats. I'm not going to do, I had a brilliant presentation, but in light of the admonishment I got from the vice chair and others, there's a summary graphic that I've handed to you, and I'm going to literally rifle through now. We take so very seriously the challenge that you all live, breathe, and lead on every single day. Schools, transportation, parks and recreation, and everything else. We take those to heart, and frankly, we could not be more proud as a community in terms of our contributions to this great county and to our community to accelerate every one of our improvements. We've built tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of roads over the last 20 years. I thought it would be important, and I'll rifle through this very quickly, to just reflect the amount of road work that's being done by Brambleton. A lot of it proffered, but all of it accelerated, in some cases by many, many years. It's not limited to Brambleton internal roads. These are regional roads. And what I'm going to just flip through this, and I'll get to the final graphic. So I hate to do a disservice to a lot of great work from our folks. But what this final graphic reflects is that over the last year and a half and over the next year and a half, I'm going to get to the final graphic here momentarily, so you have the benefit of the summary. That's the total proffer package over a three-year period that Brambleton has done. And a lot of that is not proffered, and all of that is accelerated. There will be a total of 26.2 lane miles of work completed by Brambleton in a three-year period, almost $78 million, 10 traffic signals. We know how important this is to you. We live this every single day as well. We want to do everything we reasonably can to help you and prevail upon you to help us to do exactly what you see before you this evening. I want to talk about the Dairy Barn for just a moment. We spent a lot of time with the staff. See Michael Hines from the Airport Authority. Really interesting. We're so incredibly enthused about this proposal as well. We have a remaining church site, as you can see, at the northern portion of the property. Most of the Planning Commission took a tour of this facility with us a year and a half ago, and they loved it. That's a depiction of what the barn can and will be. Critically, this reflects the LDN. We are in the 60 LDN, not the 65. And to the points that Marchant made, there were a series of commitments that we discussed and have now memorialized in our proffers with the Airport Authority that I believe addresses every reasonable concern. We're going to be pursuing a commercial, not a residential development. There's not one residential unit associated with this. It is a commercial proposal, statement of justification, noise mitigation, not required by the county in our proffers, navigation easements, and notification and disclosure. That's what the barn looks like today. It's amazing. It's going to be a spectacular amenity, and it's not going to be limited to Brambleton. It will be open to all county residents and the vision of what Mr. Fox and the Brambleton team want to achieve. I think it's really important, as we get into the weeds of so many critical issues, that we do step back and we have to take a look at the plan. That's a guiding precept for the members of the board. It's really important to highlight the original approved Brambleton, the number of units in the upper left, 3.04 dwelling units per acre, the two applications before you this evening in the middle, the total, if you are favorably disposed to these meritorious cases, takes the density from 3.04 to 3.09. As you all know, in the suburban policy area, which covers most, not all of Brambleton, but most of it, the density is permitted up to 4.0 dwelling units per acre.
You have 1 minute left.
I'm going to beat that time, 4.8. And so we are dramatically below what the plan would permit. Obviously, the library, phenomenal proposal. Again, the capital facility summary, the county will be $16 million to the good. I will simply, in conclusion, Mr. York, there are way too many people on county staff to thank. It has been a Herculean undertaking over 3 years. I do have to call out, of course, Julie Marchant, Kate McConnell, John Merrithew, Laura Kelly, Charles Yud, Paul Brown, Sam Adamo, Sarah Howard O'Brien. Ms. Clark has been a very tough negotiator on behalf of the Blue Ridge District and the county. We've been delighted to work with you and Mr. Douglas. Mr. York, I am concluded, and I'll be happy to answer any questions now or later.
All right, very good. Thank you. And board members, I'm going to hold off on any questions that you may have of the applicant at this time so we can allow the speakers who have signed up. We do have 11 folks who wish to make comment to us this evening, and since many of you have arrived after the start of our board meeting this evening, when your name is called, please come forward to the podium and you'll have 2 minutes to make your comments to the board. And we would ask that when you start, if you would please give us your name for the purposes of the public record. Our first speaker is Mark Hines, to be followed by Mark Miller.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of Loudoun County Board of Supervisors. My name is Mike Hines, not Mark Hines. Thank you. In addition to serving as the acting manager of planning, I'm also an airport and airspace planner at the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. MWA's responsibilities include protecting the public investments that have been made at Washington Dulles International Airport and preserving future opportunities for continued aviation growth and the significant economic contribution the airport brings to Loudoun County and the region. The applicant proposes replacing previously proffered religious facility and community assembly sites throughout Brambleton with a combined site that is more southerly located, but will now be located under the extended center line of Washington Dulles International Airport, runway 1230. This is a high-impact area for aircraft operations and associated noise. This is why in September of 2014, Chris Brown, Vice President and Washington Dulles International Airport Airport Manager, expressed opposition rezoning industrial land uses surrounding Dulles with non-aviation compatible uses, especially any use that provides a possible possible residential. The applicant has notably revised their proffer, as you've heard tonight, to plan development commercial community center zoning for the Civic Center and Land Bay 3A, effectively forbidding residential use. MWA still remains concerned since the property will continue to be exposed to aircraft overflight, and the prospective users should not expect any abatement of aircraft operations and associated noise during their outdoor use of this property. Since I have thought we had 4 minutes, since we were represented the authority, I'll just close saying, current zoning effectively serves to protect the Dulles Airport's future growth and the quality of life for the residents. Repeated revisions to current zoning south of Shreveport Drive under the extended center line of 20 runway 1230 will cause significant noise impacts to residents living or recreating in this area and expand the possibility that future zoning decisions may ultimately limit the airport's growth. And I do have in my written testimony a graphic that shows the overflights of aircraft over Land Bay 3A. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hines. And if you would please leave your notes and with the clerk. Do we have them? Okay, thank you. All right, our next speaker is Mark Miller, to be followed by Shane Costa.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Board of Supervisors. My name is Mark Miller. I am the chairman of the Loudoun County Library Board of Trustees, and I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of the Board of Trustees in solely in the for the property of the library to be built in the Brambleton Town Center as part of this proffer. The Board of Trustees takes no position whatsoever on the rezoning application itself, but I am here to say that should a rezoning application be approved, that the library site does fit within, and the design of the library fits within what we believe is in the best interest of the public library system. The property is located within a very walkable area. There is ample parking and can create the kind of environment that we see libraries going to in the future, where it is an opportunity for people to gather and commute and be together in an area and also drive the economic vitality of a community. So as I said earlier, I would be brief that, again, we do have no objection to the location of the library site in Brambleton Town Center and look forward to potentially working with the developer to operate such a library. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Miller, and thank you for your service on the library board. Shane Costa, to be followed by Daniel Kolcher.
Hi, my name is Dr. Shane Costa. Thank you for letting me speak this evening. I'm a resident and a business owner in Brambleton. I grew up in Northern Virginia in Reston and, grew part of a planned community that had a lot of vibrance and, you know, you could walk to wherever you wanted to go. When Reston Town Center was introduced to Reston, I mean, it just, you know, Reston exploded. We decided to move out to Brambleton a couple years ago, and I started a dental practice in the same community that I live. So not only would it benefit the residents to have the expansion of the town center, including the library, but just to have the vibrancy that, you know, a Reston Town Center would have. You know, any additional traffic that we could get to the town center not only would benefit the residents, but more importantly, you know, day traffic to the businesses that are there. You know, one of the issues that we run into is day traffic because a lot of people in the area travel out elsewhere. So to be able to bring that extra, you know, traffic to the town center would be, you know, welcome. Not only would that allow the businesses in the community to grow, I think, you know, adding that gas station for any of you that live in that area, it's would be a great addition to the community. You know, our business, my business is you know, exploding, going through the roof, and I think that any addition that we could do to the community to benefit the residents as well as the business aspect would be much welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Our next speaker is Daniel Kolcher, to be followed by Nikki McMahon.
Good evening. As you said, my name is Daniel Kolcher. I'm a pretty recent resident of Loudoun County and Brambleton. I moved in from Fairfax, so I'm familiar with the area and have been around here for several years. When I moved here, I got very interested in all what's going on in Brambleton and all the rezonings, and had the opportunity to go to some of the developer meetings, went to two community information sessions that Supervisor Clark held, and I want to come here and be very verbal in support of these applications. Specifically, I think I'm signed up for the town center, but also Land Bays 1, 3, and 5, and the future applications that are coming down the road. The town center could use help. I think everybody that lives in Brambleton would agree with that. Having the library there would be tremendous help to the town center. My wife and my family is a strong user of the library system. We have to go to Gum Springs every time we want to use the library, which impacts a lot of the traffic issues, which I'm not going to get into. But having the library close by and in the town center would be wonderful. And also support the local businesses, as Dr. Costa explained, and bring more traffic into the town center. Also, in support of the service station or gas station, it's needed in the area. There's not one nearby. You have to trek certain distances to get to the gas station, so I'm glad to see that's coming around. Just to finish up, I support them. I hope you do, too. The couple proffer amendments that were stated tonight are great that we're Brambleton's committing to those, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kolcher. Nikki McMahon will be followed by Adrian Cook.
Hi. My name is Nikki McMahon, and I live in Brambleton. I've lived there for 9 years with my family. I have three children that are all in the elementary school system. I'm here to ask you to pass this application for land base, especially 1, 3, and 5, even though I think that all of them are very wonderful. wonderful. But first and foremost, so that we can get some more schools in our area, I have a 9-year-old at Legacy and a first grader. My 9-year-old's dyslexic. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Legacy or Creighton or even Stonehill, but having a dyslexic child and having to have that dyslexic child work in a resource room that's the size of a closet with other children in there is really difficult. It is overcrowded. We all know that. Have you walked down the halls of Stonehill yet? Stonehill in the middle of classes, when you, in between classes, is ridiculous. It is the worst traffic jam of kids ever. It is so overcrowded. That's why I'm here to tell you we really need the schools now. The timing for another elementary school and a middle and high school is very crucial. Brambleton is offering and ready to give this land to our county to be built on. This completely solves the problem of finding land to be used for the schools. Isn't that one of the problems that I've heard talked about since I've been here from the beginning at 6 o'clock? Wouldn't this be at least over a $30 million tax break? Also, Brambleton would like to build the library and the dairy barn. What a great way to make our community even more better, and also to help, also to use for other county residents. We're not just thinking about Brambleton, we're thinking about the county itself. So please make a decision quickly about these applications. We need these schools now. Help my dyslexic child and thousands of other kids that really need more space in the schools. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. McMahon. Adrian Cook to be followed by Brian Viola.
Good evening. My name is Adrian Cook. Excuse me. I am a resident of Brambleton. I've actually been a resident of Loudoun County since 2010. My husband and I bought our first house in Sterling and then moved to Brambleton in the fall of 2013. I'm here today to speak specifically towards the school issue and to urge you to please accept these revised proffers. My husband and I have a 3-year-old daughter. We specifically stalked Brambleton for about 6 months. We literally bought the neighborhood, not necessarily the house. We're extremely pleased with the way that the housing worked out, but we bought specifically for Brambleton. We were attracted to the sense of community, the sense of, for lack of a better term, Norman Rockwell-esque sense of community. Everyone is amazing. We need the schools to continue that sense of tight, vibrant community. I truly believe that this particular proffer set will make a huge difference in continuing the quality that Brambleton has set forth so far in the county. Brambleton's a fantastic asset. Folks love the neighborhood. There's 1,000,001 children. So clearly schools are desperately needed to keep up with that kind of explosive growth. So I would just urge you to please consider these proffers with that in mind, and please accept them and let Brambleton improve the county even more than it already has. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cook. Brian Viola to be followed by David Pavlik.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brian Viola, and I'm a resident director of the Brambleton Homeowners Association, and I want to thank you for having me tonight. So I'm in support of, obviously, all of Brambleton's applications in front of you. You have a letter from me in Mr. Calabrese's packet stating that. And up until yesterday, I thought I had provided, you know, enough support and information to do that. But there was some emails circulating yesterday that I wanted to address to make sure that, you know, certainly things didn't get out of hand as they have before. And I want to thank Chairman York and you, Supervisor Clark, for providing that clarification on the Loudoun County Parkway. My biggest concern with the email I saw yesterday was perhaps the schools would get postponed with the proffering. As my resident neighbors and I have said in the times past, these schools are needed, and I'm very happy to hear that they're not going to be tied directly to what may happen with Loudoun County Parkway. So I would urge you guys to look at that that application favorably, because we do need the schools within the community. We are a community, as you guys already know, that have, you know, still stung by the loss of one of our schools through rezoning, and we are very hopeful that these schools will be of primary use to most Brambleton residents moving forward. So certainly I am, and all the residents I've spoken to are in support of such applications, and hope you are too.
Thank you. Mr. Viola. And let me just, kind of, I think, correct you. Rezoning happens up here, and we didn't take away the high school. It was redistricting by the schools.
Oh, no, no. My apologies. That's
just want to make sure we're clear. All right. David Pavlik, to be followed by Dwayne Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm David Pavlik for the record. Thank you, Board of Supervisors, and Ms. Clark especially, for all the extra effort over the last months, making sure that we're all well-informed of the these applications. Look, these applications are a good deal. Please don't defer them. I've been a Loudoun County resident for 20 years, Brambleton for almost 13, so I'm an original. It's a great community. The developer there always looks after the best interests of the residents and the surrounding communities. It's why it's the forever home for my family. It's just a great place to live. Everything they're doing is to continue that that theme there. So very quickly, schools, I think enough said about the schools. It's a no-brainer. We need community schools. They make sense. We really can't delay that. So roads, road improvements, the fact that we can accelerate some of these improvements and add to the proffers, again, another no-brainer. We need to jump on that right away. The Civic Center and the library, you know, the community needs places for the kids and the residents to gather and continue that sense of community, the vibrancy that everybody's been talking about here. You know, Dulles Airport noise, like I said, I've been there 13 years. I think everybody lives in Brambleton will say the same thing. Planes make noise. It's a fact of life. It's not a big deal. We're used to it. So I urge you to approve the applications. Let's not delay it. I heard somebody say, you know, they want to recommend deferring to another meeting in January. Let's not do that. Let's please focus on the big picture and approve these applications today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pavlik. Dwayne Smith to be followed by John, looks like, Sturman.
Good evening. My name is Dwayne Smith. I'm a resident of Leesburg. My involvement with Brambleton is through Brambleton Presbyterian Church. Some time ago, my wife Nancy and I chose to be involved with Brambleton through the church, and we continue to choose to be involved with this community. We've seen Brambleton grow from lines on a map to lines on the ground to streets to neighborhoods. We've seen kids grow up there from elementary through middle and high school, and we know that they are part of a community and that they did not grow up in isolation there. We see the improvements that are being offered by the Brambleton Group as a logical and reasonable continuation of the process that's made Brambleton what it is today. To us, the most exciting part of the proffers is the Brambleton Civic Center, the Dairy Barn. Demonstrating their understanding of importance of history in this area, the Brambleton Group proposes to restore that dairy barn on Belmont Ridge and convert it into a performing arts center, a civic center, a community center. Our church hopes to be able to utilize a portion of that space to meet on Sundays, which will further support Brambleton's growth. The dairy barn was vital to pre-Depression era Loudoun County, and we believe that the Civic Center is going to be just as vital to the current community. We ask for your support in bringing this historic site into the 21st century as a gathering place for our friends and neighbors there. We also are strongly supportive of the proffers involving the schools. We feel this offer is unprecedented and is not likely to be something that we're going to see again in the future. This type of offer is critical to the economic progress and sustainability of the education system that is one of the things that makes Loudoun County such a highly rated place to live. So we ask for your support with these proffers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. John Sturman to be followed by Virginia Orr.
Thank you very much. In the interest of brevity, I'm going to fast forward through some of my comments because some of the things I was going to say have been spoken to quite eloquently by previous speakers, especially some comments regarding the school situation from Ms. McMahon, Ms. Cook, and Mr. Pavlik. But as a resident of Brambleton, I'm not alone in the excitement around the changes proposed under this rezoning application, these set of rezoning applications. And the advantages that we in the Brambleton neighborhood and all of Loudoun County get with these far outweigh any negative impact. So that's why we're excited about these amenities. The only comment I'll say about the school's situation is, do you really think by waiting a lot longer there will be a better deal on the table? I think this is the right deal and the right timing for us in the county. The library and the pedestrian improvements bring a lot of significant amenities, again, not on the county's dime. And I do want to make a few comments on the noise. When we moved to our home, we were well aware of the proximity to Dulles Airport and the plane noise. We actually chose that over a street that had a lot of roadway noise where we used to live, and we are fine with it. And as one who plans to use the repurposed dairy barn, Brambleton Center, regularly, I'm not the least bit deferred by the fact that planes will be going over that. And I want to follow that up with just mentioning that I am a director of on committee for Dulles, and I believe that Dulles Airport is important to Loudoun County, as Loudoun County is important to Dulles. And there's a lot more common purpose and common ground here than there are conflict between the two. And I would encourage the county and the authority to work closely together, updating some of the policies and studies, because this is not the only time this issue is going to move forward. But I do encourage you to approve these applications, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sturman. Virginia Orr to be followed by Elizabeth Brookins.
Good evening. My name is Virginia Orr, and I live in Ashburn. My church is in Brambleton, and I have great friends who live there. So as a result, I've spent a great deal of time over the last 10 years participating in community events there, such as summer concerts and fall festivals. These activities, which were sponsored by the developer, contribute to Brambleton's warm and friendly atmosphere. As you are aware, one of the elements of the proffer is to transform the dairy barn into a multi-purpose facility. The potential here is huge. The barn will be a place for youth events, classes, farmers markets, concerts, art shows. The list goes on. All of Loudoun County, not just Brambleton, will benefit from this developer's goodwill. Please grant an exception to the current zoning category industrial and allow this good news story to become a reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Orr. Elizabeth Brookins Sturman to be followed by Ram Bencat.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Board of Supervisors. Thank you for granting me this moment to speak. As it's already been stated, my name is Elizabeth Brookins Sturman. I am a 9-year resident of Brambleton. I am also the founding pastor of Brambleton Presbyterian Church. I want to first begin by saying it has been exciting for me to be part of the explosive growth that has been occurring in this county for the last 9 years. But I do understand how challenging it is for all of you to navigate the many nuances that are associated with that explosive growth, and I thank you for your dedicated time and your service. As it's already been stated, I have submitted a number of letters in support of the Brambleton Group's offers here tonight. I came to lift up two of the rationale for my support. The first has to do with the schools. That, as it's already been stated, has been spoken well, but I do have what I think is a unique perspective that you might want to consider, and I urge you to accept these new schools. Because the church that I lead meets in Legacy Elementary School, I have noticed and have a growing concern over these last several years. As these schools have become overcrowded, I've noticed that there are classrooms, as it's already been stated, set up in the hallways that are very small. I'm the mother of a special needs child, and I know that these classrooms in the hallways are often used by children with disabilities. I cannot emphasize enough that that is an untenable learning situation for any child, but especially a child with disabilities. Please accept these schools now. As it's been said, we won't have this offer in this way again. I'd also like to speak, if I may, from the perspective of the church I'm leading. I see I'm going to go over time, so I'm going to ask for the privilege of a bit more time.
We generally don't extend time for everybody. Just if you could really quickly.
Really quick.
Sum up your remarks.
I represent the 167 members of the Brambleton Presbyterian Church. I am proud to tell you that members of this church come from all parts of Loudoun County. And though we are able to fully fund our operational budget, we are still building the revenue base to launch the capital campaign necessary to build on one of the sites in Brambleton. The proposed changes the developer is offering includes this facility that's been lifted up that is can be used for multiple purposes. One of the purposes is that it will host a place of worship while churches continue to gain the critical mass to build. As a potential user of this facility, we have no reservations about the noise. I think it's a win-win because the developer's proposed changes, if they are accepted, means that Brambleton will gain a 20-acre multi-use site and retain the vacant church parcels that have been for sale for 5 years because other churches are in the same situation we are. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And our concluding speaker is Ram Venkat.
For the record, I'm Ram Venkat. And thanks to Chairman York. Thanks to supervisors for serving the county. Thanks to Jenny and Amy for helping us with tech and sign-up sheets up here. As a Brambleton resident since 2008, having moved down from Boston area, New England, I'm more than thrilled with the development and activities that has happened in Brambleton over the course of time. And when we looked for homes back in 2008, in Loudoun County specifically, as Fairfax County was overcrowded, just in a few weeks, we didn't have even a single thought in buying a home in Brambleton. And Tim Lyons, who's the sales guy, I spoke with. He wanted to be sure it's a sure deal that we're buying the house because it was so quick moving down from Boston. Himself being a New Englander, he wanted to be sure it's a sure deal. I was like, sure, because I knew as a consultant, I have traveled this great nation from a small town called Aberdeen on the Seattle west coast of Washington State to Atlanta, and from Bay Area, California to Boston extensively. And I knew where this community is moving forward and where it is going, and I haven't been disappointed a single day. And having said that, that instinct or belief in the community, sense of community has strengthened further the last couple of years as a resident volunteer in the Covenants Committee and working with the staff and directors, this has further strengthened. And I'm pretty sure that the elementary school application, middle school and high school is very much needed for the community. Please approve those, as well as the gas station is very much needed in the community, so is the library. And with that, thanks for hearing me tonight, and happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and happy New Year.
Thank you, sir. And we do have one more person signed up. Kristen, is it Garrett?
Garrett, yes. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Kristen Garrett. I am a 7-year resident of Brambleton, and I've lived in Loudoun County for 19 years. I've seen a lot of growth and development and have not felt compelled to speak to you before tonight. I am so excited about the proposal before you for the additions to the Brambleton community. I think they will be a great boost not only to the community but to the county as a whole. Ordinarily, if you mentioned a gas station in my neighborhood, I would be concerned about lights and aesthetics. But from the day that we've moved to Brambleton, the commitment by the developer to maintain and to further grow a first-class community has been extraordinarily evident. I have no doubt that this will be no exception and that the gas station will seamlessly fit into the town center. There's little debate over the need for schools, but I do want to draw your attention to the location of these schools. They meet the criteria for community schools. Research will show you that community schools that encourage and easily facilitate parental involvement and community support produce students who perform higher academically across the board. Location is a common theme here, and the library is another example. The walkability, the central location, not only for the immediate Brambleton area, but for that area of the county as a whole, is huge. The American Academy of Pediatrics lists proficiency in reading in third grade as the single most important indicator for high school graduation and for further career success. Through that lens, and on behalf of our youngest citizens, I ask for your support of this library to promote literacy, to put it smack in the middle of our everyday lives, to be a boost for moms, for teens, for children, and to show Loudoun County is a county that values education, that values literacy. This is an opportunity for an outstanding library, for schools centrally located, for a gas station, and for a community center that will benefit us all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Great comments, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming forward with your thoughts this evening. Board, I just have a quick question. We've had several folks comment they would like to see this application done tonight very quickly. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to do that. We still have some I's to dot and T's to cross, and with respect to the one proffer commitment, has to be written in a proffer statement. It is my understanding that if the board approves the application by January 21st, if it is so disposed to approve the application, that you can deliver the school sites in time for the schools by the April time frame?
That's correct. I mean, Dr. Damo ought to confirm that, but yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, he's shaking, Dr. Damo shaking his head, yes. Board members, we did have an email by our colleague whom's district this is in that she wanted to send us to the business meeting on the 21st, January 21st.
And then I changed that, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm getting there if you guys won't interrupt me, and the more you interrupt, the longer it's going to take to build the schools.
That's a good one.
And then I was concerned because I think we do need to take this land use committee. She did send out the notice and has changed her mind. So I was happy to see that. Now, this is a very kind of challenging thing for the chair of the land use, because what I'm going to ask is, Ms. Clark, if you make the motion to send this to the Land Use Committee, you do not put a date on it. I would like to work with Chairman Volpe of the Land Use Committee. I don't think we can handle it on your normal date and have it in time and ready for the packet on the 21st. And so I think we're going to have to either somehow dovetail it on the other meeting, which I didn't know about until this afternoon, or call a special night to do this, but it's going to we need to kind of move it up to either the week prior or 2 weeks out to your meeting so we can get a staff committee. Can we work that out?
Mr. Chairman, I actually had a bit of a preemptive conversation with Kenny Young. Since we had already moved Tuscarora Crossing to a special TLUC meeting at 3:30 on Wednesday, the 14th of January,
and our public hearing
night, we would have more than enough time prior to 6 p.m. if we needed to add a couple of items to that special agenda, and therefore not have a TLUC meeting on Friday the 16th.
Okay, I'm going to ask that. Okay, that works out, Ms. Clark. Still send it, still keep it, not the date. Let's hope and just make sure. The other thing is, do not please cancel your TLUC meeting on the normal cycle, because we never know what has come up, and I do not want to force a 10-minute conversation in 2 minutes. And oftentimes we do, because of timing of issues and the enormity of what we have to dispose with in TLUC. So with that, Ms. Clark, I'll turn it over to you for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But I would like to first thank Mr. Adamo for being here, Dr. Adamo for being here, because repeatedly, I know every time we go over these rezoning applications, where's the school representative? And while I appreciate staff being here, I do appreciate you being here, Dr. Adamo.
And I don't think that Mr. Calabrese, you have to worry about putting Dr. Adamo or Sarah Howard O'Brien out of business, out of work. They have more than enough to handle, and I'm sure they appreciate any assistance you provide. With that, I move that the Board of Supervisors for ZCPA 2012-0006, ZMOD 2012-0005, SPEX 2012-0026, SPEX 2013-0026, and SPEX 2013-0027, Brambleton Town Center to the Transportation and Land Use Committee for discussion and...
You further move.
I further move. I had to get down to the next item. I further move the Board of Supervisors forward ZMAP 2012-0013 and ZCPA-0012-0009, Brambleton Land Bays 1, 3, and 5 to the January 21st, 2015 Board of Supervisors. I withdraw that motion and say, and further move the Board of Supervisors forward ZMAP 2012-0013 and ZCPA-2012-0009, Brambleton Land Bays 1, 3, and 5 to the Transportation and Land Use Committee for further discussion as well.
Motion has been made, seconded by Mr. Reed. Discussion, opening comments, Ms. Clark.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, this illness that I've had is just dragging out there, but I think I'm much better than I was last Wednesday, so everybody can understand me better, right? Yes, and I want to thank staff for providing the cough drops in the back there. I've used probably more than I should because I'm feeling it in my stomach here. But in any case, thank you, everyone, for coming out and speaking. Mr. Chairman, what we've heard tonight has been representative of what the community came out and said at my community meetings that were published in the paper, went out to thousands of people. And so that's really been, it's been an interesting process because I also haven't had that many people show up for the community meetings for these applications. I've received a lot of emails in support. Most of the people, I've received some against, but the majority of those people don't even live in Brambleton, which is interesting. There are a number of things. I want to thank the applicant. We are not voting up or down on this tonight. Obviously, this is going to Transportation Land Use Committee. And it has been 3 years working with the applicant and with the school system and school board representatives and the Cooley folks here, Mr. Calabrese, and Mr. Chairman, the whole board. I mean, I've never seen so much involvement and so much work and attention to detail. And so I really appreciate it. I know I haven't always been easy to work with. And I know that particularly from the day we met over 3 years ago, you asked what the most important things were to me. That was schools and transportation. Almost 18 years being in this county, in my entire lifetime, because I grew up in Fairfax, it seems like it's been overcrowded, schools and transportation issues, and it just continues. And God bless you, Brambleton folks, because there's this whole misconception that the road issues in Brambleton are just because of the Brambleton residents, and it isn't. And I think, Ms. Snow, you highlighted that very well. Because the people traverse through, but yet you are responsible for completing the road network. There's a number of discussions I've had over the past recent weeks, just further emphasizing my request for a number of considerations in the proffers, and I provided board members this here. And so I have a list. I'm not going to have time to read them because we're always on a short clock. But if one of the other board members, maybe Supervisor Volpe or Mr. Chairman, if you would like to read them, that's why I support this going to transportation and land use to ensure that those get put in. And I want to thank the applicant because they have acknowledged directly through the letter to us today,
Mr.
Clark, Chairman.
I'll remind you, you do get closing comments.
Okay, thank you. But we do have that letter recognizing at least one of the requests, the proffer amendment. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Williams.
Thank you, Chairman. And I'm going to be very brief. This is a good package, very good package. Appreciate the applicant, appreciate the representatives. Certainly there's some things we want to make sure we're squared away. The letter today, in my mind, squares those away, and I'm ready to support this application when it comes to the board. I do support my colleague, Supervisor Clark, and appreciate all the efforts she's made to make this a great application for the community. The school sites, we need them. This will create a walkable community. And we hear you, and we need the timing is perfect. So, again, when this is up and ready to go, it will have my support and appreciate everyone's hard work on this.
Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple quick things. First, yes, I actually watched those. It was really cool, the drone flights. There were parts of it where, I don't know if anybody else saw it, where you could see the little helicopter thing going. And it looks beautiful. I'm actually jealous. Those of you who actually have some development happening in your area actually get roads paved. There are those of us who have to beg. For Transportation Land Use Committee, staff, if you could make sure somebody from transportation is here so that if there are any technical questions, we got a good overview tonight of who's responsible for what and when. But I'm sure that we might have more questions about that. One thing I would like to also have, because I do believe a library is an awesome addition and desperately needed, if we could get from the libraries, they do a monthly breakdown and a yearly breakdown of usage by library in the county, because from my understanding, the Gum Springs Library is indeed, you know, overwhelmed right now with usage. So that this is actually a viable need that we have, you know, here in the eastern part of the county. I think that would be very helpful. Thirdly, for our TLEF meeting, whenever it shall occur, sometime in the January mid time frame, hopefully we'll figure that date out sooner rather than later. I'd like to also have an overview. Right now, all we're seeing is the specifics of the outline of Brambleton. I'd like to see also what is around Brambleton, more of a regional map, you know, with densities, because I think that will also be helpful, because I'd like to see some of the traffic counts and flows for the area. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Volpe, you have paved roads, howbeit they were done in 1805, but you have paved roads. Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you. Let me also give my thanks to the applicant, staff, Loudoun County Public Schools, Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority, and the community. I know a tremendous amount of time and work went into this application. I do have two questions, though, because we never got to ask the applicant questions, but bear with me for a moment. I think there's three things that have swung me about this. Number one was the library trigger. The fact that it will tie to the CIP, that's very important because we need to get this library built sooner than later. The second thing was the changes you're willing to make after meeting with EMWA. I am a mother hen when it comes to the airport. I'm extremely protective of the airport. And by you working with EMWA, it appears we got over those issues. And your letter today about Loudoun County Parkway, I think those things have greatly swung my position on this. Let me ask you two quick questions then. You agreed to a rezoning from PDGI, and I'm referring to specifically the Brambleton Center, to PDCCCC, to alleviate concerns regarding precedents for residential uses, but also the packet says additional amendments are anticipated regarding aviation easements and disclosure of airport noise to users of the center. Where are we in making those commitments?
They are memorializing the proffers already, Mr. Bono.
Including the aviation easements?
Yes, we've committed to doing those.
And disclosures?
Yes, sir.
So those will be some of the I's and T's that we're dotting and crossing?
Already done.
Thank you. All right, my other question relates to Loudoun County Parkway. In your letter today, you say Brambleton Group shall not be able to secure zoning for any of the new additional 458 proposed homes with land base 1A and 1B, and unless until it has completed its proffer, blah, 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 on Loudoun County Parkway.
Zoning permits, not zoning.
They're able to secure zoning permits, yes. How do you define completed?
I think we can better define it. We have a site plan that's been approved for Loudoun County Parkway. I think that's probably the right mechanism to do it. So it'll be very clear. It won't just be the line on the map. I think we'll be referencing the specific.
What stage will the road be in when it's completed?
It'll have to be open to traffic.
Open to traffic, but not necessarily reverted to VDOT?
Well, that's a different discussion. I mean, as you know, the Board of Supervisors has seen this time and again. We, all of us, the county included, has a real challenge with VDOT.
No, I understand that. And I've had roads turned to VDOT in a matter of 2 weeks, and I've had some go on for a year.
We can't
and,
be in that
and I understand
position.
That. And I know Toll's responsible for some of this road, and VDOT and the county are responsible.
Correct.
It's not just Brambleton.
That's correct.
But I want to understand completed. That's the question.
Open
for traffic,
open
whether
to
it's
traffic
VDOT
is,
or not.
It's open to traffic. I don't know that it's not going to be subject to be brutally frank about it, that VDOT hasn't accepted the road system.
No, that's not my point. It's open to traffic.
Open
you
to
memorialize
traffic.
That, correct?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Letourneau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we have come a long way. I remember moving into Brambleton in 2006, and the site plan had a Barnes & Noble on the town center and a skating rink. I'm sure you all residents remember that. Unfortunately, Barnes & Noble's not doing well so these days. But a library is even better. It's free, right? You don't have to pay for the books. It is worth noting that the schools didn't just get overcrowded magically. They got overcrowded because so much was built. And I think if we had a magic wand here and went back to 1995, it's pretty obvious that the proffer package at that time was not adequate. And the proof is in what you're talking about, what it's like at Legacy and Creighton's Corner. We do have the opportunity to try to correct that at this point and try to speed up getting school sites here. The big issue for me consistently for a long time has been Loudoun County Parkway. And I'm going to ask a very simple question to Marchant. Until this letter, there has not been a commitment on the part of Brambleton to complete their section of Loudoun County Parkway other than the active adult project, which has not started until this letter, correct?
Correct.
We have certainty on the VDOT and the county section of 606. We have certainty on the Toll Brothers section of 606. But until this letter, we didn't have certainty on the Brambleton section, correct?
In the proffers, correct.
Okay. That is why that's a big issue, and that's why that was a very big issue. I fully appreciate that Brambleton has been making progress and building the road, but that doesn't mean they couldn't stop tomorrow and walk away. And then we're stuck with the active adult proffers. It appears to me that that's been addressed in here. And quite frankly, we could have saved a lot of time when my planning commissioner asked the question, will you move this proffer at the planning commission to Brambleton 1, 3, and 5? The answer from Mr. Calabresi that night was no. I've seen the video. The answer was no. Had the answer been yes, I think this whole process from that point on would have gone a lot differently. But the answer has gotten to yes. It appears we're going to work on it with our staff. And that significantly changes my outlook on this because, as we've heard from our residents over and over again, that missing piece of Loudoun County Parkway, and I fully appreciate the county has to do its part, VDOT has to do its part, 2017 is as early as we can do, but if we have certainty across the board, that is such a relief to our residents who live to the north of Brambleton, in the middle of Brambleton, and to the south of Brambleton, because not having that certainty and not having the road is caused just an unbelievable amount of congestion, emissions, lost time, you name it. Anybody who sat on Belmont Ridge Road heading south for 20 minutes during rush hour knows that. So I look forward to working on this application further, but I am pleased that we have this letter.
Any other comment at this time? Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you were able to assure Supervisor Letourneau about the road. I know I also like the drone trip. I got that shared on my Facebook page by Supervisor Clark, so I got to see that drone ride on the other part of the Loudoun County Parkway. I attended a meeting that Supervisor Clark had in Brambleton, and was interested. I stayed the most of the meeting and got to hear most of the citizens speaking as they have spoken tonight. It's quite a lot of work that was done, very complicated, involving a lot of cooperation on the part of a lot of people. And thank you for having the patience to bend to some of the requirements of the supervisors, the chairman, obviously the home supervisor, the staff, the citizens, and even people from outside the district.
All right. Well, I'm glad we are where we are this evening when we'll get the land use and finish everything we need to for this application. And I appreciate something that Ms. Clark said, but I want to address a little bit further. Yes, I have had a lot of emails from folks very concerned about the application, but it's all been that do not live in Bramlton. Mm-hmm. But it's tied to one topic, and it goes with everything we do up here with respect to residential. They don't understand why we're approving applications when the road network is not completed. And it's not only a challenge on 606 and Loudoun County Parkway. It's a challenge to us almost anywhere we're going in the county trying to get around. And thankfully, we finally have funds to be able to schedule to get much of our network going. We've got a lot going on in the Route 7 and 28 corridors, and soon construction on 606. So the concern was they weren't really against the application. They didn't understand why we would be approving houses without Loudoun County Parkway done. Working with now VDOT and you folks, Mr. Calabrese and your client and staff, we are a long way to solving the challenge that we have at the intersection, the soon intersection of Loudoun County and 606, and given the commitment by your client this evening for not to go forward with any construction units until the Loudoun County Parkway is completed helps us a tremendous amount. And so with that, I look forward to getting us to the end of January where we can actually get the application approved in its final form and the schools going on with their construction. And I certainly hope, and this is not anything to you, Dr. Adamo, but you can carry this message back to the school board. I hope these schools actually have Bramlton kids going to them.
Yes. Ms. Clark. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, very much for that, and absolutely some excellent points. I have two motions after this to add in terms of for information that I had discussed with Mr. Calabrese and have been working on with these folks for some time and with staff that for discussion at transportation and land use for consideration in the proffers. And I want to sincerely thank Mr. Calabrese for working with Mr. Fox, and Mr. Fox for the commitment, for the letter that you provided today that has been a long-term, like year-long discussion and communications from Chairman York and myself. Going back to, I know, the emails that we were exchanging in February earlier this year for the written commitment for the completion of the Loudoun County Parkway the way that you have expressed it in the letter. So I realize it wasn't received as soon as some would like to have received it, but it was received in time, and that's all that matters. So having said that, on the road network piece, we all, it's been mentioned here, it's the road network that is the issue, and the Loudoun County Parkway piece is not going to solve the entire problem. And that's, so some of the requests that I have to do with, and I know you're well aware of this, but have to do with expediting or accelerating even more those additional roads which Bramlton has responsibility for. And when you do that, of course, you're serving the greater Loudoun County community because, once again, as we know, the problems that we have in that area that my office is inundated with complaints on, and I feel the pain for because I drive through that community, I have meetings over there all the time, and the issue of congestion and lack of mobility. And so I have concerns, as you well know, that when these schools open, which are desperately needed, that without more of that road network completed on the front end, it's a problem. I know that puts a lot of pressure on you folks. I know that it's more money expended, but it is really, really important for the mobility. Most of the kids in Briarwoods High School now are not Bramlton residents. So that is an example of the situation of surrounding communities impacting the Bramlton community. So the library will serve the entire county. As I know that when Bramlton hosts their events and such, you open that up to the county as well. So I would like to, those are the final closing comments on that motion, and then I have a subsequent motion, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Ms. Clark, procedurally, you're saying you're having motions, and we haven't seen anything handed out.
Oh, yes, it's in front of everyone. It's been all night. And I had sent two emails. There's a yellow and a blue copy. Mr. Supervisor Bona has it.
That might be helpful because I haven't seen it.
Yes, so, and I'd sent an email that they were there. So these motions are they're not alternate motions. They are additional motions to direct staff.
Yeah, just make them as an amendment.
Okay, so I would like to amend the motion, Mr. Chairman, to direct county staff to work with the applicant on ZCPA 0012-0006 and ZMOD 2012-0005, Bramlton Town Center, to include in the proffers adherence to the open space contribution amount of $120,000. Additionally, I move to direct county staff to work with the applicant on ZMAP 2012-0013, ZCPA 2012-0009, Bramlton Land Base 1, 3, and 5, to include in the proffers the following items to be applied as a phasing trigger to be completed before the construction of the 458 additional residential units.
Don't need that one now. Or
A, Bramlton's portion of the missing segment of the Loudoun County Parkway has already been
taken care of.
But we'll remove that. So we'll start, we'll make B, Bramlton's portion of Shreveport Road from Evergreen Mills Road to Loudoun County Parkway. Creighton Road from Loudoun County Parkway to Evergreen Mills Road. All three school sites should have utilities to them for construction to commence before construction of any of the additional 458 residential units requested in the Land Base 1, 3, and 5 application. And need an agreement not to cul-de-sac Evergreen Mills Road until the county and VDOT deem it necessary. If the county and VDOT find it is no longer necessary to cul-de-sac Evergreen Mills Road by the county and VDOT, by the time Bramlton builds its last residential unit, the county will release Bramlton from the commitment to cul-de-sac Evergreen Mills Road. Request that these further move that these items be addressed in transportation and land use for the proper language and discussions with the applicant.
I really find this odd as a motion because typically all we do is raise up concerns without a motion. And quite frankly, I'm very concerned about your E in here. And I think we need a whole lot of discussion on this with that.
Mr. Chairman, this is just direction for discussion and transportation land use.
That's fine, but your motion was for staff to work with them to solve these things, and I'm not in agreement with all of them. That's what I want to make sure. And so this is what I'm going to recommend. This is fine. Well, all I would say, Ms. Clark, is that we can work with the developer on some of these. Some of these we may be in disagreement with. I think your original motion is appropriate. Without tying these in there, we understand your concerns, and these will obviously be discussed in transportation land use meetings since you're bringing them forward. But I think it is, I'm sorry, I just have to say I'm in disagreement with ordering staff to do it because these are topics that we as a board need to discuss and come to the conclusion this is what we want. So I think some of this is almost already done anyway on the yellow page.
So, Mr. Chairman, if you feel it's best, I'd be happy to withdraw the motion and just request, ask staff to bring these items for discussion and transportation and land use. So I'll withdraw the motions, but if we could have that transportation and land use, I would greatly appreciate it.
For the record, she's withdrawn the amendment to the motion.
Yes, thank you. The amendment to the motion.
All right. All in favor of the motion to send this to TLUC, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are done with our agenda for this evening, so we are adjourned.